It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We've reached the halfway mark of the second week of our new broadcast time slot, at least for folks who listen live. Your listening time hasn't changed if you listen to the podcast. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that new time slot, what is it? Well, it's 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and everything in between. But again, it doesn't matter for the podcasters. So, you know, there's that. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is, I guess it's safe to say this would be a preempted prayer meeting Wednesday, because we've got a wild assortment of wild-eyed white wingery to cope with this afternoon, this evening. In the form of the historic debate, followed by eventually the vote on whether or not to impeach Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius. I think we're going to stick with that bit for a little while. The moron in chief he said he isn't bothered by this, but we know he is. In fact, he whined about it. The precious Lindsey Graham, you know, Leningrad Lindsey. Mm-hmm. That's just hilarious when you consider that back during the Republican primary, you remember a million years ago when Leningrad Lindsey hadn't earned the Leningrad part of his name and was decidedly opposed to Donald Trump, so much so that Donald Trump phone spammed him and gave out his phone number to the maggots, and Lindsey had to change his phone number and said that Donald Trump would cause the Republican Party to get its ass kicked and would destroy the Republican Party, and then said, and we will deserve it. Yes, we will. That Lindsey. Right. Well, I guess all is just hunky-dory with them now, because they're besties. And in fact, Nitwit Nero has gone whining to Leningrad Lindsey in a phone call, because of course he has. But we'll get to all that in short order. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And so thanks go out. Thanks go out to Grace. And thanks go out to Charlene and to Stephen, our subscribers, for this, the 18th day of the month, because it is the 18th day of December 2019. That means 13 days remain in this particular discrete trip around the sun. And thanks go out. Thank you again to Charlene in Rogues Island, and Stephen, thank you very kindly to Grace for being partial sponsors of the program. Thanks to an anonymous friend. We do have people who like to be anonymous when they contribute to the program. For meeting the remainder of Darlene's challenge. So that means that we've only got $125 to raise this evening for prayer meeting Wednesday, preempted, which is decidedly awesome. Just $125. 10 at 12:50 even. So hopefully we will knock that down and we won't have that to cope with for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Now, let's see here. I thought we might check in with the lunacy. It is rather of a historic day. I thought we might check in with the lunacy and see, because it has been an absolute, rogues gallery of crazy during the debate today. We've learned a lot about the Republicans that we probably didn't want to know in the first place. But damn, this has been an exercise in nutty. And assuming that all the equipment works as expected, well, we'll have actual evidence of it. It'll just take some doing to slog through it. But yes, Mariam Khan, a journalist, reported via Twitter today that Leningrad Lindsay said he talked to President Trump today and asked him how he was doing. And Trump's response per Leningrad Lindsay,
well, I'm being impeached, so other than that, I'm doing okay. Damn it.
I added the damn it part. But you know that there was he's a vile and vulgar little man. Well, not so little, really. And you know he didn't just say, I'm doing okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Good. But there has been Jesus Christ. It's stunning the amount of stupid. It really is. But let's see if this is working the way I hope it does. Let's see. Okay, let's. All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying a theory here. No, apparently it doesn't work that way. All right, live and learn. Yeah, we'll try it this way. And barring that, we will go to the clips. The tale of the clips. I had it all fired up and ready to go a little bit ago. But I guess it takes a little more time. Well, you got to re-authenticate is what you got to do. Here we go. Peter Welch of Vermont speaking.
It was met with the adoption of the Constitution in 1788. And at its heart are two bedrock principles that have served as touchstones for our country ever since. First, it established America as a nation of laws where no person is above the law. Second, It established the concept of a separation of powers.
This is what you call casting pearls before swine. The Democrats have been doing it all day long. Explaining the origins of the Constitution, explaining where impeachment comes from. And, you know, the only response that, say, Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins has is derp.
In the upcoming election for his personal benefit, he willfully infringed upon the right of citizens to decide who will lead our nation. And in doing so, he placed himself above the law and in violation of his oath. And when he denounced, denied, and defied the clear authority of Congress to investigate his conduct, he repudiated our constitutional system of checks and balances and further violated his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And it is for these reasons I will cast my vote in favor of impeaching President Donald John Trump. I yield back.
Wow, that was rational.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 2 minutes to the gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Biggs. The
gentleman's recognized for 2 minutes.
Mr. Biggs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Some of my colleagues across the aisle have said, hey, where are the facts? As if we have the burden of proof. It's your burden of proof, Madam Chair. It's the Democrats' burden of proof. But the facts are unchanged. The Ukraine received the aid that they were promised and appropriated for.
So the shakedown doesn't matter.
It was lawfully dispersed. In fact, it was dispersed within the time limits set by this Congress. If you wanted it set before, sent to them before September 30th, 2019, should have put that in the legislation. You did not.
Oh, it's Congress's fault he shook down the Ukrainians. How about that?
The Ukrainian president said he felt no pressure, no coercion, no duress, no conditionality. But what changed?
He also said he didn't want to be hauled in to be part of used as a political pawn in the United States political process.
The Ukrainian president, President Zelensky. Democrats have manufactured this sham and then argue that refusing to cooperate is impeachable. The Supreme Court is currently considering the extent of executive privilege when fighting dubious subpoenas.
Dubious.
But instead of taking their process to court,
I had no idea that anybody had subpoenaed Donald J. Trump's. The J stands for genius. Dubies.
But failing to do so is an abuse of power of this institution that will have grave consequences for our republic. Now, when the other side claims they proceed with soberness, I'm bemused by media reports that indicate they have been admonished not to do a jig today when they win the vote, which we know they will. I am struck that solemnity of process shouldn't need to have an admonition against levity. This process has been partisan, vindictive, dishonest. In this impeachment, Democrats have lied about the content of the July 25th call, met secretly with the whistleblower.
Lied about the content of the July 25th call is what they describe Adam Schiff making fun of Donald Trump's, or not making fun, but paradising by saying, the nice country you got there, something be ashamed if something happened to it.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to revise and extend remarks in favor of both articles of impeachment.
Without objection.
Gentleman. Madam Speaker, I recognize Mr. Carson, the congressman from Indiana, for 2 minutes.
Gentleman's recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, Madam Speaker, as we continue and consider this historic impeachment vote, let's be clear that the president's actions seriously jeopardize not only America's national security, but the security of our closest allies. His actions threaten the goals of the U.S.-led NATO alliance. You see, Ukraine is a nation working hard to make its democracy stronger. And make no mistake, Ukraine is on the front lines.
This is Representative Andre Carson, one of those rare Democrats from Talibandiana.
Against Russia and integrate itself into the European community. When our European allies are stronger, America is stronger. We are better equipped to promote democracy and put a stop to tyranny. But to President Trump, strengthening this valuable national security objective, Madam Speaker, was not as important as smearing a political rival. Madam Speaker, we know that he held nearly $400 million of aid to Ukraine until President Zelensky agreed to help him dig up dirt on its potential 2020 opponent. This aid was approved by Congress with strong bipartisan support. President Trump's actions hurt American diplomacy and undermine the integrity of our nation's promises to our allies. We will not allow our leaders to trade away our national security. We cannot allow Russia's continued threats to democracy go unanswered. And we must not allow our own president of these United States to get away with breaking his own oath of office. Madam Speaker, that is why we take this solemn but necessary vote to impeach. Thank you. And I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield a minute and a half to the gentleman from Ohio, Mr. Latta.
For what period?
Minute and a half.
Gentleman's recognized for a minute and a half.
Speaker, this is a sad day for our country.
Oh, it's a sad day for our country. You know, that's been said on the Democrat side, too. And I want to offer a different perspective on that, if I may. I don't think there's anything sad about it. Not because I despise Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius. Not because if Donald Trump was on fire, I wouldn't piss on him to put it out. Not because he is a revolting and pathetic excuse for an attempted member of the human race. Not because he's the son of a conniving woman who cheated her way into the United States, and a man who was a member of the Ku Klux Klan and was busted at a Klan riot. Not because he's the grandson of a coward who was a pimp and a panderer. Not because he's a coward who ran from his obligation to serve his country. Not because he the list is so long. Not because he bragged about being able to sexually assault women anytime he wanted to. Not because he's never been faithful to a single spouse of his. Not because he's got five kids by three baby mamas. Not because he's cheated in every business relationship he's ever been in. Not because he's been credibly accused by more than 20 women of sexual assault and sexual abuse. The reason that I'm tired of this language about how sad this day is because it carries an inherent complaint about the Constitution itself. This is not a sad day. This is a day for celebration. This is a day for us to say, look, at least this one part of the Constitution still works. I heard one member of the Democratic side who claimed that she had been a former judge of some sort say that the impeachment was a cause for sadness. And I thought, my God, lady, if it's a cause for sadness, walk away. I heard her say that what is going on today is a constitutional crisis. It is not a constitutional crisis by any stretch of the imagination. The constitutional crisis is what we have been in since January 20th, 2017, and what continues to this day until the ayes outnumber the nays, and Donald Trump, who became impeachable the minute his hand came off the Bible, finally stands impeached. We've discussed this on this program before. A constitutional crisis happens when the mechanisms within the Constitution fail to protect the Constitution. We will arguably be back in constitutional crisis when the bills, when the bill of impeachment is transmitted to the Senate, because the majority leader of the Senate has declared that that his politics and his party allegiances and the lining of his pocket, for that matter, are more important, Trump, if you will, the Constitution that provides for our governance, for our self-governance. Okay? Let's check in with Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York.
Impeach President Trump for his blatant abuse of power and his obstruction of Congress. I yield back.
Gentlewoman from New York yields. Gentleman from California reserves. Gentleman from Georgia is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Arkansas, Mr. Womack.
Oh, this ought to be fun.
Arkansas is recognized.
I thank the gentleman for giving me this moment. Madam, or Mr. Speaker, years from now, history books will tell of this day.
Mm-hmm.
It will tell of a purely partisan effort to remove the President of the United States. An effort not built on a high crime or misdemeanor, not on a process in keeping...
See, these talking points have been going on all day. Well, you ain't got no high crime, you ain't got no misdemeanor. But in point of fact, a high crime or misdemeanor, as we learned in the 1990s with the impeachment of Bill Clinton, is whatever the majority of the House says it is. You know, like a stain on a blue dress. Or lying about a consensual sex act that was no business of the House of Representatives in the first place. Those, according to Republicans, are high crimes and misdemeanors. The Democrats disagreed. But the Republicans had the majority, and so they impeached Bill Clinton. And lying about a consensual sex act and a matching DNA sample to a stain on a blue dress became an impeachable offense. And thus, high crimes and misdemeanors are what the House says they are. But it's been that line of bullshit all day long. And make no mistake, that's exactly what it is. Bullshit. And by the way, I missed a little bit of this. Has Auntie Maxine spoken yet? Here's Tom Malinowski from New Jersey.
Official to say to us, I need you to do us a favor, though. Why would we tolerate a president using his awesome power to make foreign policy when the safety of our country is at stake, not for the people, but for himself? I will vote to impeach today because President Trump did just that when he shook down a foreign country to criminally investigate his political rival. If we fail to say that this was wrong, then any president will be free to ask a foreign power, be it Russia, China, or Iran, to help him hurt his political enemies at home. And every foreign tyrant and kleptocrat will know that America's foreign policy can be bought by doing our president a political favor. If you believe that our highest duty is to protect America, then search your conscience and ask, do you want our future presidents to behave as this one has done? Do not whisper in the shadows of the Capitol that you disapprove and then defend that conduct here today. Do your duty, keep your oath, defend your country.
The gentleman's time has expired. Gentleman from California Reserve, gentleman from Georgia is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, that's this is Joe Uli Wilson, whose name, by the way, isn't Joe.
Over a month ago on November the 14th, I spoke on the impeachment hoax with points true then and still true today. After over a month of secret investigations into the administration, Democrats
no Republicans allowed whatsoever, totally in secret.
This continues the deception by Democrats to mislead the American people. It's insulting. No Republican witnesses, no counsel by the president to participate in full exoneration by courageous President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. It is said that instead of focusing on funding
Defense
Authorization Act, passed only last week, or passing the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement to create jobs, the Democrats continue having weight.
Yeah, that's another one of the bullshit talking points. Ooh, we could be a passing of legislation. Why ain't we passing legislation? And earlier today, Gerald Nadler had to look. I guess he got fed up because he got up after one of the people, one of the maggots had said that and said, listen, bub, we've passed 485 bills in this House. 80% of them are sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk. I think they said gathering dust. I would have said in a pool of blood, but, you know, that's me. But that's it. It's all just canned talking points that are a product of a conspiracy between the White House and the House Republicans to appease their audience of one. Let's check back.
Our character and motivations are questioned.
This is a Democrat.
We know where the president's true loyalties lie.
Representative not Jimmy Gomez of California.
Not with our allies, but with our adversaries and himself. Abraham Lincoln once said, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Donald Trump has failed this test. And now our test is whether we will be a check on that power. Therefore, we must hold anyone to account, regardless of party or politics, who sets fire to the very institutions that define our nation and our values. And with this in mind, I will vote yes to impeach Donald J. Trump. I yield back.
Gentleman from California yields. Gentleman from California reserves. Gentleman from Georgia is recognized.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I yield a minute and a half to the gentlewoman from North Carolina, Ms. Fox.
Gentlewoman from North Carolina.
Ooh, recognized. She's a Lulu.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in strong opposition to the process.
This is Virginia XX Fox.
When Congress sees fit to examine its solid.
She's the conductor on the Republican crazy train.
It is imperative that it does so in genuine pursuit of justice, fairly, transparently, and objectively. Anything less is unacceptable. This partisan impeachment has fallen far short of that. Sadly, Alexander Hamilton's prediction in Federalist number 65 has come true, where he warned that in many cases it will connect itself with the pre-existing factions and will enlist all their animosities, partialities, influence, and interest on one side or on the other. And in such cases, there will always be the greatest danger that the decision will be regulated more by the comparative strength of parties than by the real demonstrations of innocence or guilt. After years of investigations, hearings, and millions of taxpayer dollars, Democrats found no proof that the president committed a crime. No,
you know, except the 17 actual witnesses from the administration itself who described in patient, painstaking detail the litany of acts that were part of the shakedown, except for the resistance to the lawful subpoenas that constitute an abuse of power. Yeah, there wasn't no crime. It ain't like he actually got convicted of raping them women's that have accused him of rape. There ain't no crime. And you know what? If he had been convicted of raping them women's, we'd be standing right here saying raping women's ain't an impeachable offense. That's just personal crime.
President did not make them any less requested by the minority. I'm now proud to recognize the gentleman from Massachusetts, Mr. Keating, for 1 minute.
Gentleman from Massachusetts is recognized.
Today I reflect on the imperatives of two sons of Massachusetts, John Adams, who in one sentence captured the very foundation of our country, saying, "We are a government of laws, not men." Translation, no one is above the law. And John F. Kennedy, who in his iconic City Upon a Hill address cautioned that any one of us holding public office would be judged by the high court of history on whether we were truly men or women of courage, with the courage to stand up to one's enemies and the courage to stand up as well to one's associates, the courage to resist public pressure as well as private greed, and on whether we are truly men and women of integrity who never run out of the principles in which we believe and whom neither financial gain nor political ambition could ever divert from the fulfillment of our sacred trust. President Donald Trump, indifferent and disdainful of this sacred trust, conspired to extract personal benefit from his office. He dishonored his oath. I refuse to abandon mine. I yield back.
Ouch.
Gentleman from North Dakota.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would just like to point out very quickly that the only Republican witnesses allowed in the intelligence hearings were on a Democrat's pre-approved list. And with that, I would yield 1.5 minutes to the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Rice.
Gentleman's recognized for 1.5 minutes.
Madam Speaker.
Apparently, Doug, mouthful of collards, Collins, the preacher, had to go to it's cocktail hour. Yeah. He sounded about half drunk all day long. This note from Steve in New York. Excuse me. I could be wrong, but I seem to remember the GOP dancing a jig when they impeached Clinton. Well, I remember when they had a party in the Rose Garden, didn't they? When the House overturned or voted to overturn the Affordable Care Act. Remember that? And they passed around long neck beers. Yeah. That happened. So let me see here. I think we need to go back to earlier in the day, because that's when some real crazy broke loose. Barry Loudermilk. He earned himself a name today. It's not a good name. But he stood up, and this is prayer meeting Wednesday, so it's particularly appropriate. He stood up, and I kid you not, this is a real, no kidding, get the hockey puck moment. Get the hockey puck, run the duct tape around. You're not going to be okay. Just want to be clear about that. I swear you're going to be, you will be, you'll be barking.
Before you take this historic vote today, 1 week before Christmas, I want you to keep this in mind. When Jesus was falsely accused of treason, Pontius Pilate gave Jesus the opportunity to face his accusers. During that sham trial, Pontius Pilate afforded more rights to Jesus than the Democrats have afforded this president in this process. I yield back.
You heard what you... Yes, you did. You actually heard that. That was not some sort of mass hallucination. A maggot member of the House of Representatives just said today that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, was not as badly treated as Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius. Really? I got to hear that again. I got to just make sure that I'm not the one who's...
Before you take this historic vote today, 1 week before Christmas, I want you to keep this in mind. When Jesus was falsely accused of treason, Pontius Pilate gave Jesus the opportunity to face his accusers. During that sham trial, Pontius Pilate afforded more rights to Jesus than the Democrats have afforded this president and this process. I yield back.
Nail him up, I say. Nail some sense into him. They've jumped the shark. They're gone. Some of these remarks actually had to be, because you can tell by the way things are going back and forth. The people who are managing, in this case, you know, Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins and Gerald Nadler of New York, they are prepared with talking points. It's almost as though they know what each other's going, what each other are going to say. The Republicans had to know that this clown was going to get up and compare Donald Trump to Jesus H. Christ. And they had to be okay with it. I mean, some of this stuff is obvious. I mean, look, they allowed Steve King. Yeah, that's Steve King. Steve Cantaloupe's King of Iowa. The guy who is absolutely a proven white supremacist. There's no doubt about it. And Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, never mind whether he saw his prepared remarks or not, and they were nutty, he let Steve Cantaloupe's King speak. Kevin McCarthy, who has previously pulled Steve Cantaloupe's King, the white supremacist, from his committee assignments for being a white supremacist, still let him speak. And that gets pretty close to telling you everything you need to know about this opposition to impeachment. It's not based in fact. It's not based in law. And it is not in any way bounded by any sort of shame. As in, sir, have you no shame? When you're willing to let a known white supremacist who goes overseas and runs around with proto-Nazis or actual Nazis, when you let that person rise to speak, you've given away the game. And then there's Steve Cantaloupe's King's ally, Louis Asparagus Gohmert of the 1st Congressional District of Texas. He got up to have a shrieking hissy and give life and give breath to the Ukraine conspiracy. That this is actually all about the Ukraine and what they done trying to hurt poor Donald J. Trump, who is a G, and the J is for genius, and trying to help that godless Hitlery woman. I hope you didn't put the hockey puck away. Sincerely, I hope that.
Turning his back on Ukraine, that happened in 2009. Because in 2008, Ukraine invaded Georgia. What happened? Bush put sanctions on Russia to teach them a lesson. What happened after that? Well, in March of 2009, Hillary Clinton was sent over to Russia with a reset button to say, Bush overreacted. We're okay that you invaded Georgia. It was a green light to Russia to invade Ukraine. And what do? Oh, yeah, you send blankets and MREs. They can eat and be warm while the Russians are killing them. That is what the Obama administration did. This is a travesty, and we're in big trouble because Schumer was right. Now It's lowered even farther, the bar. It will be used for political battles, and this country's end is now inside. I hope I don't live to see it. This
so
is
do
an
we,
outrage.
Louis. So do back. We.
Gentleman from New York.
Madam Speaker, I am deeply concerned that any member of the House would spout Russian propaganda on the floor of the House. I now yield 1 minute to the gentleman from New York, Mr. Higgins.
The gentleman from New York is recognized for... The House will come to order. The gentleman from New York is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you.
The House will come to order. The House will come to order.
Yeah, that was Louis, whose time had expired. And when Gerald Nadler said, rightly, that no member of the House should be spouting Russian propaganda on the floor of the House, Louis Asparagus Gohmert came howling back. But he did it. He spouted Russian propaganda on the floor of the House. In defense, well, of the Russian agent. Damn those sweet, 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 sweet rubles that went all through the Republican Party, through the pipeline of the National Rifle Association. That was some powerful rubles. Jesus. It's been a long day. I think if you had crafted some sort of a drinking game to go with the day, there's none of us would even be in the same area code. Hell, we might not even be in the same country code as sober. Subject line, bipartisan Clinton impeachment. Stephen New York says, I call bullshit. In the Committee on the Judiciary, according to Wikipedia, note that this was in a lame duck session of the House. On December 11, 1998, the House Judiciary Committee voted on whether to present the three articles of impeachment to the full House of Representatives. On the first and second articles of impeachment, the committee voted 21-17 to impeach strictly on party lines. On the third article of impeachment, the committee voted 20-18 to impeach with Republican Lindsey Graham joining Democratic committee members in order to give President Clinton the legal benefit of the doubt. On the fourth and final article of impeachment, strictly along party lines. And then, in the full House, according to Wikipedia, Clinton was impeached by the House of Representatives on December 19, 1998. One, perjury to a grand jury by 228-206 vote. Five Republicans, four, five Democrats against. Two, obstruction of justice by a 221-212 vote. 12 Republicans, four, five Democrats against. Oh, we now have a correction. I've been saying Donald J. Trump, the J is for genius. Flavio says, no. Donald J. Trump, the J is for Jesus. And I don't know if Flavio realizes this, but he speaks more truth than he knows, because Frederick Trump, his Klansman daddy, was Frederick C. Trump. And the C stands for Christ. I shit you not. Look it up. Because that was the surname of the woman that Frederick Trump's father, I think, married. Christ. It would be kind of cool if somebody would raise that. And of course, Chlamydia Claudius was out there tweeting away today. And, at one point he went so far as, and this is one of the problems with it. Doug, mouthful of collards, Collins, declared earlier today that Donald Trump had abused his power. And then Nitwit Nero tweeted about it, approvingly, no less. And then there was the point today when Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins said, they had the criminal, and then they went in search of a crime, thereby admitting that Donald J. Trump, the J is for Jesus, is a criminal. You know, if we were doing bumpers and stuff here, I think I'd probably cue up Smooth Criminal. Because why not? God almighty. Oh, this might be rich. This is Andy Barr from Kentucky. He's flailing and waving and pointing.
And for good reason. Ukraine is the third most corrupt nation on earth. So the president not only had the legal authority to temporarily pause security assistance to Ukraine, he had a mandate from Congress to do it. And as a result, President Zelensky's government made historic anti-corruption reforms, making Ukraine a more reliable ally, countering Russian aggression. Far from compromising national security, the president's actions advanced national security. Oppose this impeachment.
Madam Speaker, my colleagues would have the country believe that the president held up the aid to Ukraine because he was concerned about corruption. Of course, there is not a shred of evidence for that. All of the national security experts across all the departments testified that Ukraine met the criteria to receive the aid. So what was the real motivation here? Well, one thing is telling. In 2017, the president had no problem with aid to Ukraine, raised no issue of corruption. In 2018, he had no problem with the military aid for Ukraine. So what changed in 2019? Joe Biden announced he was running for president, and all of a sudden, Donald Trump held up the aid for Ukraine. As Ambassador Sondland testified, the president didn't care about Ukraine. All he cared about was the big stuff that affected him personally, the investigation of the Bidens that Giuliani was pushing. It's my pleasure to recognize the gentlelady from Virginia, Ms. Spanberger, for 1 minute.
Gentlelady is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise today in support of House Resolution 755. As a CIA case officer, I used to meet with foreign nationals who were providing vital intelligence to help inform our hardest national security decisions and keep our country safe. These individuals from countries where leaders abused their power and defied the rule of law risked imprisonment and often their very lives in order to provide the United States with information to help us, to inform us. But why? It was their belief in the United States, their belief in our country, the longest standing democracy in the world, our country, a beacon of hope in the world, a democratic republic founded on a document and the belief in the rule of law and a belief in its people. Today, I am proud to serve in the People's House representing my hometown and again serving our country, that beacon of hope in the world. And today, especially today, I reflect on the founding documents that have set us apart in the world, leading people across generations and across the world to risk everything because of their belief in our great nation. Today, especially today, I affirm my commitment to upholding and protecting the Constitution, the rule of law it defines, and the people it governs.
Gentlemen from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 35 seconds to the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Arrington.
Gentleman is recognized for 35 seconds.
Today, many of my Democrat colleagues will be making history, unfortunately, for supporting the first ever completely partisan impeachment of a president of the United States. Mr. Speaker, I'm deeply disturbed that history...
If you had the video, you would note that Jabba the Hutt is apparently foregoing the Star Wars premiere to sit back behind Representative Joey Arrington.
...punish a political adversary, not to seek truth, but to seize political power... For the love of country, I urge my colleagues to oppose this disastrous political ruse. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from California.
Recognize the gentlewoman from California, Chairwoman Waters, for 3 minutes.
Oh, I've been waiting for this. Go, Audie Maxine.
Gentleladies, recognize.
Burn him down.
3 minutes.
This is going to be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the rules of debate won't allow me to cite all of the reasons why this president should be impeached. Ooh. There are many. However, Madam Speaker, members of this House, to quote the late Maya Angelou, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. This day was not inevitable, but it was predictable because this president has shown himself time and time again to believe that he is above the law, and he has no respect for our Constitution or our democracy. Based on all that we know about Donald Trump, we could have predicted he would have abused the power of the president by corruptly soliciting the government of Ukraine and the Ukrainian President Zelensky to publicly announce investigations into his political opponent, former Vice President Joseph R. Biden. This impeachment resolution includes evidence that this president withheld $391 million of taxpayer funds that Congress appropriated for the purpose of providing vital military and security assistance to Ukraine to oppose Russian aggression, another blatant abuse of power. Our investigations revealed that this president advanced a discredited theory promoted by Russia, alleging that Ukraine, rather than Russia, interfered in the 2016 United States presidential election for corrupt purposes in pursuit of personal political benefit. Never before in our history have we experienced a president who has so clearly conducted himself in a manner offensive to and subversive of the Constitution and directed his cabinet members, executive branch agencies, and other White House officials to defy lawful subpoenas from Congress. Was he attempting to hide wrongdoing? It is without question that this president has demonstrated that he will remain a threat to national security and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office, and has acted in a manner grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law, because at every turn he has shown us who he is. It is no secret that this president could have been impeached a long time ago. Today we stand here with an irrefutable case and an indisputable set of facts that this president absolutely abused his power and obstructed Congress. Any other individual who would have been caught conducting themselves in the way this president has would have been prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It is shameful that any members of this House are willing to disregard the Constitution, turn a blind eye to hard facts, and ignore a confession from the president himself. History will remember those who were willing to speak truth to power. Yes, I call for Trump's impeachment early. This is our country. Our foremothers and our forefathers shed their blood to build and defend this democracy. I refuse to have it undermined. I wholeheartedly support this resolution. I'm proud that in the final analysis, justice will have been served in America and Donald Trump will have been impeached.
Ladies, time's expired. Gentleman from Georgia.
Madam Speaker.
Gentleman from Georgia.
House is not in order.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Reclaiming my time that the gentlelady did not have, I yield 35 seconds to the gentleman from Louisiana, Mr. Abraham.
Gentleman is recognized for 35 seconds.
Madam Speaker, what is shameful is that Speaker Pelosi has allowed this Democratic witch hunt to move forward. She's the one that has abused her power, and we should be debating her removal from the House. Reagan said that the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so. Democrat extreme partisanship will set a dangerous precedent for this nation. And mark my words, Madam Speaker, this sinister attempt to remove this lawful president will not go unnoticed. I yield back.
Gentlemen.
That was a threat.
California.
I recognize the gentlelady from Nevada, Ms. Titus, for a unanimous consent request.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I ask unanimous consent to enter my statement into the record supporting the impeachment of Donald Trump.
Order.
And I now recognize the gentleman from Connecticut, Mr. Himes, for 2 minutes.
This will be good.
The gentleman's recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise today in anger and hope. I'm angry that President Donald Trump has treated his oath in office so disrespectfully that now we must hold him to account. The truth is clear to anyone not deliberately looking away. The president withheld military aid and a White House meeting unless and until a vulnerable Ukrainian president announced a nakedly political investigation. It didn't matter if the Ukrainians uncovered any wrongdoing. The mere announcement of an investigation would damage his political opponent. Mr. Trump didn't care about stopping corruption in Ukraine, never mentioned the word corruption once in the infamous July 25th call. This was not an attempt to reduce Ukrainian corruption. It was an attempt by Donald J. Trump to aim Ukrainian corruption straight at the heart of the presidential election of 2020. The president knows this, which is why he has not given this Congress a single email, phone record, or document. That is not the behavior of a man with nothing to hide. It is simply and undeniably contempt of this Congress. But what makes this impeachment essential is that the president's abuse of power has not stopped. As we speak, he continues to urge foreign interference in our democracy, beseeching China to investigate the Bidens, sending Rudy Giuliani overseas to chase Russian conspiracy theories. This morning, the president tweeted, "I did nothing wrong," all caps. He believes it, too. He sees nothing wrong with inviting Russian, Ukrainian, or Chinese interference into our election. He did it. He continues to do it, and he sees nothing wrong with it. He'll wake up tomorrow and do it again if we don't stop him today. Therein lies our hope. I'm proud today to answer the call to defend our democracy and the United States Constitution and urge my colleagues to do the same. And yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, for things that I really don't understand. I'm having to yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Mississippi, Mr. Kelly.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, I'm saddened today that I spent 2 Christmases defending our country overseas, and I get a measly 30 seconds to speak in this laughable process. Our president.
Oh, somebody give him a cookie.
And there are those today relying on swamp creatures' words to preserve swamp. How do you suppress the votes of 63 million people in an electoral landslide? You keep repeating the same lies absent any factual basis. I've heard some of the greatest fiction ever spoken here today.
Don't anybody tell him that 65,800,000 is bigger than 63 million, okay? Don't tell any of them that. Because, and I thought I was bad at ciphering. I mean, all those, you know, all those other 6 zeros and stuff. But I can, hell, I can subtract 63 from 65 on the fly even. This is Raja Krishnamurthy of Illinois.
While some questions remain unanswered, 2 key facts are clear and compel me to support the articles of impeachment. First, President Trump attempted to pressure a foreign government to help his reelection campaign. And second, the president used the powers of his office again to obstruct a congressional investigation into that wrongdoing. The president has falsely claimed he has been denied the chance to defend himself, but at the same time, he is preventing the testimony of witnesses with direct knowledge of the events under investigation. If the president were innocent, as he claims, surely these witnesses would be able to testify to that. If there had been no quid pro quo, these witnesses could say that. If aid to Ukraine were not intentionally delayed for improper purposes, they could surely testify to that also. But rather than giving these witnesses the chance to speak, the president has silenced them. The president has silenced witnesses at the Defense Department. The president has silenced witnesses at the State Department. The president has silenced witnesses at the White House. He even silenced the loquacious Mick Mulvaney, who uttered at a press conference that there was a quid pro quo and get over it. By choosing to block this testimony, the president is not proving his innocence. He's just proving he's afraid of what they have to say. As a wise man once said, the truth will come to light, and it has. It is our duty to act on it. I yield back.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's a shame on the floor of this House when you accuse somebody and then make them prove they're not guilty of what you're accusing of. That's a bad look. 30 seconds to the gentleman from Tennessee, Mr. Rose.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, today I rise in strong opposition to this partisan impeachment spectacle that just seeks to accomplish what President Trump's opponents failed to do at the ballot box in 2016. Our votes today are merely formalizing the decision my colleagues on the other side of the aisle reached 3 years ago. This process has been an embarrassment to our country, an insult to our Constitution, and a distraction from the real work we should be accomplishing for the American people. I stand with the people of Tennessee's 6th District in strongly supporting President Trump, and I will vote against the
Gentleman's
articles of impeachment
expired.
Before us today. Thank you.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I reserve the balance of my time.
Gentleman reserves. Gentleman from Georgia.
Madam Speaker, I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Michigan, Ms. Huizenga.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
In her own words, Speaker Pelosi said impeachment must be compelling, overwhelming, and bipartisan. These articles of impeachment being considered today by the House fail to meet the Speaker Pelosi's own standards. Process matters, folks. Representing a good chunk of Gerald Ford's old district and being a staffer during the Clinton administration, I have an intimate understanding of the effects of impeachment on this nation. I'm stunned to see my Democrat colleagues whitewash, or maybe I should say whitewater, Bill Clinton's cooperation with the House of Representatives. That is not exactly what was going on. And this is the most partisan impeachment that we have seen in our nation's history. And I yield back.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I continue to reserve.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Cloud.
Gentleman's recognized.
It's been very clear from the beginning that this impeachment proceeding has never been about an honest search for the truth. If it were, our Democratic friends would not have polled to see what to charge the president with. Calling an opinion a fact does not...
Ooh, Jesus, they did them some polls. Republicans don't never do no polls.
Based on no fact and witnesses, and then quote from it like it's authoritative, it's no more valid than having a campaign pay for a foreign entity to create a fraudulent dossier and then selling it to a FISA court in order to spy.
Yeah,
on
see,
a
that
campaign.
Didn't happen.
This has always been a verdict in search of a crime, an impeachment birthed out of a resistance
Gentlemen's
movement.
Time's expired.
It's time to end this charade and
Gentlemen
get back to doing
California.
The work we were elected to do.
Madam Speaker, I continue to reserve.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Indiana, Mr. Fulcher.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
In case you're wondering, Adam Schiff has outmaneuvered Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins because he has to keep giving 30 seconds away while Schiff reserves because Schiff is reserving to have the last word. This clown is just standing and being silent for 30 seconds. It's not like the feed isn't working.
Gentlemen's time's expired.
You're back.
Gentleman from California. Gentleman reserve.
Madam Speaker, I continue to reserve.
Thank
Gentleman
you.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Madam Speaker, I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Tennessee, Mr. Fleshman.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, in my 30 seconds, my heart aches for our great republic today. I implore my Democratic colleagues in this House. We're not Republicans or Democrats. We are Americans. This is not the right place. This is not the right procedure. Settle our...
And whatever the Democrats chose to do, it would not be the right place or the right procedure.
Together, don't give the Senate the victory lap. Give the House the victory lap. Vote no to impeach. We owe it to the American people they want so dearly for us to come together for our great republic and thank our great president. Thank you. I yield back.
And members are reminded to address their remarks to the chair. Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I continue to reserve.
Gentleman from Georgia.
I think we're just going to stay this.
Can you give us the time for both the majority and the minority?
It has 43 minutes. Gentleman from California has 29 minutes. Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate that. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Waltz.
As Brother Deacon Asa points out, process matters. Process matters, folks. I mean, look at the due process that Merrick Garland was afforded by the Repig fuckers. See? Yeah. That's for real. I guess that means that Merrick Garland was more poorly treated than Jesus.
Impeachment. For that reason, I'll be voting against impeachment today.
Gentleman from California continues to reserve.
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Kentucky, Mr. Guthrie.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise today in opposition to the articles of impeachment on President Trump. My Democratic colleagues have been planning to impeach President Trump since he took office. After months of wasting House time on partisan investigations, they've been unable to produce evidence that President Trump committed a crime. I will vote no on today's article.
But they did produce 485 bills that are sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk, so they've got that going for them, which is good.
From California.
Madam Speaker, I'm proud to recognize the gentleman from New York, Mr. Maloney, for 2 minutes.
Gentleman is recognized for 2 minutes.
Madam Speaker, the facts and the evidence establish, beyond peradventure, that the president abused the power of his office for personal gain and sought to cover up his misconduct by obstructing the Congress. What we do today goes to the heart of the oath we take to support and defend the Constitution. These actions are as necessary as they are heartbreaking. It is the president, not any member of this House, who has brought us to this sad place. His actions echo in this chamber, and like a tin can tied to his leg, will rattle behind him through the pages of history. For in the final analysis, none of us will escape the truth. It will come for us all in this world or the next. What is the truth? The president used taxpayer money and official acts to pressure a foreign government to help him win re-election by slandering a fellow American. How do we know this truth?
That's good.
We know because brave Americans.
By slandering a fellow American.
Came forward that comes to reveal close, the president's.
That comes close to what I suggested weeks ago. That it's not about digging up dirt. It is about telling lies. And slander is a lie. Because the truth is absolute defense.
Belonging to the public. That would further establish his mendacity. He blocks his advisors and associates from testifying before the public to conceal the wrongs they witnessed. His actions are unworthy of the presidency. Today is about right and wrong and whether we still know the difference. Today we hold the president accountable. If we failed to do so, future presidents would see corruption as without consequence. And there, our democracy goes to die. We inherit this republic from our ancestors and we borrow it from our children. With humility, we pray that the history of this day will guide us to a better future for our nation. I yield back.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Missouri, Mr. Long.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And we have never, ever in the history of this country seen a presidency
it's
like
Jabba.
This one.
So let me take a moment here. When we were talking about representing Loudermilk earlier, Barry, who compared Nitwit Nero to Jesus Christ and said Nitwit Nero was being more shabbily treated than Jesus was. This is one of those moments where we're reminded what a good thing it is to have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the House, and to thank the voters of her district for sending her. When Loudermilk said what he did, AOC shot back with Romans 1:25. Prayer meeting Wednesday. What do you want? Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Ding. Here's Jeff Fortenberry from Nebraska, who styles his hair like lettuce.
Sad, it's regrettable, but this day will end shortly. The House has had its cathartic moment. Tomorrow will begin a new day. Let's get back to work. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, we continue to reserve.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from California, Mr. LaMalfa.
Gentleman's recognized for
Here's Sparky's congressman.
Ready, fire, aim. What we're hearing today are made-up articles to fit an ever-shrinking impeachment foothold. George Washington could be impeached under this criteria. Democrats believe they are saving our democracy with these hysterical made-up charges, which is odd because we're a republic, not a democracy, as they keep insisting. No one came to Congress to impeach, we hear. Several new and returning members have come specifically to impeach President Trump. I hear a lot today about sadness and solemnity. From impeachment, no, because their candidate lost in 2016. American people chose Donald J. Trump to lead us into prosperity, not a socialist government. We will survive this day, but I call upon
socialism
to see through this sham
gentleman
and live
California.
To hear speaking
Speaker,
the
we
truth.
Reserve the balance of our
gentleman
time.
Reserves. Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Alabama, Mr. Adderholt.
Gentleman's recognized.
This will be good. Another Confederate.
Mr. Johnson from South Dakota, I yield 30 seconds.
Mr. Johnson's recognized for 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, I'm voting no. Impeachment is not in the best interest of this country, and in fact, it has only deepened the partisan divide that truly plagues this country.
I had no idea we had a member of the House named Dusty.
I pray with all my heart that the anger and the division in this chamber will give way to an honorableness.
Maybe after he's done, somebody named Filthy.
Working together.
Oh, no, that guy's in the White House.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I reserve.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This air traffic controller is getting in line for a landing. Let's go back to Mr. Adderholt. 30 seconds from the gentleman from Alabama, Mr. Adderholt.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. True, today, a duly elected president has been impeached by the House of Representatives, by the Democrats, compelled by partisanship and not by the facts. I'm proud to stand here with President Donald Trump, and I plan to cast my vote against both articles of impeachment. This is not, it's not that the president abuses power. It is my colleagues on the other side of the aisle who are abusing one of the most powerful tools that's been entrusted to the Congress by the, in the Constitution by our founding fathers. Twisting the Constitution.
Here's the thing. Back in the 1850s, people from Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee said the same thing. Those abolitionists are abusing their power by trying to take our humans away from us. Well, they're not really human now, are they? They're trying to take our property away from us without due process of law, like it says there in the Fifth Amendment.
My Democrat friends have turned this chamber, the people's chamber, into the star chamber of the people. One great example, the most important
star chamber. There's a reference that'll be lost on the maggots.
Is that like Dancing with the Stars?
We're hoping Republicans to have every member stand up and vote, like for Speaker, say their vote loudly.
Gentlemen,
that's been denied.
Expired.
CNN has
gentleman
been denied.
Speaker,
I yield
we
back.
Reserve
this
the balance
is a sham.
Time.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Gentlemen,
Bruga, Bruga.
Madam Speaker, I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Pennsylvania, Mr. Thompson.
Gentleman's recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you. Thank the ranking member. Thank you, Madam Speaker. While this institution should rightfully ensure that the law is faithfully executed by the administrative branch, this exercise has shown itself to be the ultimate manipulation of the legislative branch's oversight powers in order to achieve political gain. I caution my colleagues who have placed political expediency ahead of moderation, their votes later today will forever change this institution. Imagine a future where this body utilizes the most severe of its constitutional tools to continually put the oppositional party on trial. And with that, I yield back.
California.
Madam Speaker, it's my pleasure to yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Maryland, Mr. Brown. The
gentleman's recognized for 1 minute.
Madam Speaker, when I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the United States Army, I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And I've done so 13 times in my 35 years of public service. That oath means everything, to serve and fight for our country, to protect and promote our values. Yet President Trump betrayed his oath. He abused his power, the immense power of the presidency. He threatened our elections by inviting foreign interference. He chose investigating a political rival over defending our national security. So today, we must use our power, the extraordinary power endowed by our Constitution and entrusted by the people, the power to impeach. We must hold President Trump accountable, or else we will be complicit in undermining our democracy, our security, and our dignity. His conduct demonstrates his unfitness to serve as Commander-in-Chief and warrants removal from office. The oath I took as a member of Congress is the same I took as a soldier, an oath that reminds me values matter, duty, honor, and the rule of law matter. To keep my oath to the people I serve and the country I love, today I will vote to impeach the President of the United States. I yield back.
Madam Speaker, I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Illinois, Mr. LaHood. The
gentleman is recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've said from the beginning of this process, impeachment is and should be the nuclear option reserved for the most treasonous activity and the most serious activity. Clearly, that has been not met here. As I've reviewed the facts and evidence as a former federal prosecutor, I've read the transcripts, I've watched the hearings, I've read the whistleblower report. That has not been met here. In addition, this process has lacked fairness, due process, and transparency. We shouldn't be here tonight doing this. This is a travesty.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I reserve the balance of our time.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Maryland, Mr. Harris.
Gentleman is recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, it's unbelievable. The few Americans that are going to be watching this, because they know what the outcome is. We all know what the outcome is. They're wondering, why are we trying to negate the vote of 63 million Americans instead of talking about the things that Americans care about? Prescription drug coverage, the high cost of prescription drugs, the high cost of health care, securing our borders, keeping our economy going. These are the things we should be talking about. No, instead, we're going to pass this resolution tonight and then go home for Christmas vacation instead of doing the job of America. I yield back.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, we continue to reserve.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from Kansas, Mr. Watkins.
Madam
is recognized for 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, I was a political newcomer before this, and just like President Trump, perhaps like me, he was naive to think that this house, that in the people's house, everybody was true and just. It's not the case. Democrats weren't saddened by this solemn day. They weren't waiting for all the evidence. This was always about politics.
This is Steve Watkins from Kansas,
he didn't play by their
who might cry.
I should have known. But the fact is, Kansas is better. The U.S. is better, and the world is better because of Donald Trump.
Gentlemen's time's expired. Gentlemen from California.
Madam Speaker, we continue.
He was just trying to get the campaign contribution.
Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 30 seconds to the gentleman from California, Mr. Calvert.
Gentlemen,
thank you.
Recognized for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My friends on.
Let's take a minute, if it's okay, and I presume it is, and check in with because this is not going to be an entirely Democratic impeachment. It's funny how the Republicans have managed to forget one of their own so quickly. But Justin Amash of Michigan, who is one of those libertarian types, well, he got sick of eating and breathing and drinking the effluvium of Donald Trump as a member of the Republican Party. So he became an independent. And he spoke earlier today. And he did a pretty good job, really. Working.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
I rise today in support of these articles of impeachment. I come to this floor not as a Democrat, not as a Republican, but as an American who cares deeply about the Constitution, the rule of law, and the rights of the people. Under our system of government, impeachment is not about policy disagreements or ineffective governance, nor is it about criminality based on statutes that did not exist at the time our Constitution was written. Impeachment is about maintaining the integrity of the office of the presidency and ensuring that executive power is directed toward proper ends in accordance with the law. The Constitution grants the House the sole power of impeachment and the Senate the sole power to try all impeachments. We in the House are empowered to charge impeachable conduct. The Constitution describes such conduct as high crimes and misdemeanors, but because it pertains to high office and relates to the misuse of that office. We need not rely on any other branch or body to endorse our determinations. We have the sole power of impeachment. In Federalist No. 65, Alexander Hamilton wrote that high crimes and misdemeanors, quote, are those offenses which proceed from the misconduct of public men, or in other words, from the abuse or violation of some public trust. They are of a nature which may, with peculiar propriety, be denominated political, as they relate chiefly to injuries done immediately to the society itself, end quote. President Donald J. Trump has abused and violated the public trust by using his high office to solicit the aid of a foreign power, not for the benefit of the United States of America, but instead for his personal and political gain. His actions reflect precisely the type of conduct the framers of the Constitution intended to remedy through the power of impeachment, and it is our duty to impeach him. I yield back.
Yeah, I got to give credit where credit is due. That was a sort of masterclass of what impeachment means. And it was well delivered. By the way, I want to go back to a note that I got from Steve from Georgistan, or I mean Steve from New York a little bit ago. And it pertains to this all day long talking point of, well, Donald Trump was worried about the corruption in Ukraine, because they're the most corrupt country in the world, right? It turns out Steve, serving as the ad hoc Horn Research Department this evening, has decided, well, he went out and looked that up. The subject line is lies, damn lies, and Republican talking points. Ukraine ranked 130th among 180 countries in the Corruption Perceptions Index in 2017, released by Transparency International. Ukraine improved its last year's result by 1 point and got 30 points out of 100 possible. Next to Ukraine stand Gambia, Iran, Myanmar, and Sierra Leone. Ukraine was able to achieve a slight improvement due to the fact that in 2017, the Ukrainian Anti-Corruption Authority, Special Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office, and National Anti-Corruption Bureau forwarded to courts its first corruption-related cases where the suspects were high-ranking officials. And by the way, in case anybody's wondering, the Ukraine is the most corrupt country in Europe, after Mother Russia. How's about that? Steve noting, as to Justin Amash, somebody listened to Barbara Jordan. Mm-hmm. As to that that one Republican who combs his hair like a head of lettuce. Jim says, "Sir, you wish you had that head of hair." Signed, Dusty Pumps. I don't wish I had that head of hair because I don't have the kind of time in my day to take care of it, I'll have you know. Uh-oh, looks like Doug Mouthful of Collins is having the vapors. Possibly, I'm not certain, entirely certain, maybe the Fantods.
Because he can't make the case. He can only put it in his notes and then come to the mic when he can't be questioned and talk about it. That's the problem, and that's the chord that's been struck. With that, I yield 2 minutes to the gentleman from North Dakota, Mr. Armstrong.
Gentlemen, I'm Ms. Nice 2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Once President Trump was sworn in, articles of impeachment were introduced almost immediately. In 3 years, House Democrats have introduced 10 resolutions, gaining support of over 100 of their members, and all of that before a July 25th phone call. But also during that time, the Russia conspiracy hoax was exposed. Obstruction of justice charges were abandoned after the Mueller hearings fell flat. So after 2 years, 19 lawyers, 40 agents, 2,800 subpoenas, 500 warrants, and 17 lies.
Don't leave out the partridge in the pear tree, dickhead.
They had nothing to show for it. Undeterred by the facts and uninterested in governing, the beat marched on. So here we are today. We have no quid pro quo, no bribery, no extortion, no crimes alleged in the articles at all. But don't worry, because we have a brand new 632-page report alleging all kinds of things, some for the very first time. This isn't a somber, solemn process.
I wonder if Kelly's going to have to go and wipe his face off after he's done with this.
But this never-ending march towards overturning the 2016 election has consequences, because you're telling 63 million voters that their votes that you don't respect their vote. Voters in states like mine, who not that long ago used to send Democrats.
There's them 63 million again, which, once again, are not as many as 65.8. 2.8 million less, as a matter of fact.
Virginia, who feel that their partisan points are more important than practical solutions. Your never-ending impeachment quest is a constant reminder to them that you don't trust their judgment, you don't understand their way of life, and you couldn't care less about the issues that are important to them. As Chairman Nadler has so ominously stated, if you're serious about removing a president from office, what you're really doing is overturning the results of the last election. Well, they were serious. They spent the last 3 years talking about it.
Yeah, there's only one problem. If he was removed from office, the next president would be Mike Pence, soul neck geek, and it still wouldn't overturn the results of the last election because, you know, he fucking lost. That's all there is to it. He lost.
Address their remarks to the chair. Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, we reserve the balance for time.
Gentleman reserves. Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this time, I yield 3 minutes to the gentleman from New York, Mr. Zeldin.
The gentleman's recognized for 3 minutes.
Oh, he's a Lulu.
This impeachment is an embarrassment for House Democrats. On the substance, Dems claim that their case is uncontested, relying on presumptions, hearsay, and 3% of the story, trying to connect dots that aren't actually connected. Some inconvenient truths. President Zelensky didn't know that there was a hold on aid until August 29th. The aid gets released shortly thereafter.
That's not true.
Ukraine didn't have to do anything in order to get that aid released. Now, President Zelensky says no demand, no quid pro quo, no pressure. But Democrats...
because he wants the money.
Or the other 97% of the story. See, it doesn't work like that. Senate Democrats want new witnesses to show why there was a hold on aid.
Would the Horn Research Department care to tell me where the First District of New York is, please?
Are being discussed between countries. Democrats and media allies want the public to believe it's all just debunked that Ukrainians interfered in a 2016 election. They want you to ignore Avakov and Chali's comments that Chalupa worked with the Ukrainian embassy, origins of the Steele dossier, the Black Ledger, and more. The problem with all of this is that the American public are smarter than Democrats are giving them credit for.
The Black Ledger, the password is Black Ledger. The Black Ledger was the ledger that showed the off-the-books payments to, wait for it, Paul Manafort.
No, that is not what Republicans are saying. And of course, we have the Burisma-Biden issue of a corrupt Ukrainian energy company run by a corrupt Ukrainian oligarch hiring Hunter Biden at least $50,000 per month with no energy experience and no Ukraine experience solely because he is VP Biden's son. Now, the company wanted to hire Hunter Biden because they wanted to curry favor. There was this ongoing corruption investigation. Enter Joe Biden. He gets that prosecutor fired, threatening the loss of $1 billion if it didn't happen immediately.
Yeah, the corrupt prosecutor. They never say that part. I don't know why.
From scrutiny. I disagree. Never again should that conflict of interest ever happen. And our governments should be working together to get to the bottom of all of this. This has also been a total disaster on the process, from getting a federal worker to file a whistleblower complaint to Schiff's version made up of the July 25th call. In closed-door interviews, Schiff was prosecutor, judge, jury, and witness coach. Every day, he loved getting America drunk on his favorite cocktail, three ingredients: cherry-picking leaks, withholding key facts, and misstating evidence. In the depositions and in the public hearings, the president's counsel was not invited to attend, present evidence, or cross-examine witnesses, and Republicans weren't allowed to call witnesses like Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and many others. Then there was the House Judiciary.
There's that little thing called relevance. And Joe Biden is irrelevant, and Hunter Biden is irrelevant. And I don't think Lee Zeldin is the equivalent of Adam Schiff. This is a pathetic attempt to try to get Adam Schiff to burn his time because they want the last word, the Republicans do.
I thank the Speaker. We continue to reserve the balance of
gentleman
our time.
Gentleman reserves. Gentleman from Georgia.
Oh, that stings.
Madam Speaker, are you...
Because Adam Schiff just laughed at Lee Zeldin.
3 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. You know, today, as we sit here debating and...
Oh, look, it's Kevin McCarthy.
All I want to talk about
the guy who let the white supremacist speak.
Alexander Hamilton. You know, the last 30 days, I've heard more about Hamilton from my Democrat colleagues. And until then, the closest they ever came to Hamilton was a $10 bill. I mean, you know, all of a sudden what we have.
Oh, get with the pop culture, Kevs. The least you could have done was refer to the play.
Nothing to do with anything but raw politics. You know, there's only.
Yeah, because Republicans never play that. Except, like, always.
No one on this side of the aisle got that during this impeachment process, Madam Speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Kev's. That's Mark Meadows, the one of the maggotiest of all the maggots from North Carolina.
They said what we need to do for impeachment is to have compelling evidence and bipartisan support. Well, they don't have either of those two things.
He say they saved Mark Meadows for this time, time period. Because they knew that Nitwit Nero might be, well, he's been watching all day. Who are we kidding?
Guy in Ukraine saying there was no pressure. We've got the number.
You want to bet that the White House medical staff has Nitwit Nero dosed to the gills just to keep him from ripping his clothes off and running screaming out across the street into Lafayette Park?
The best witness they have. The very best witness they had to change his testimony twice. They mentioned him 611 times. And ultimately, he said, I presumed that that's what the president meant. You know, I can tell you that there are not facts here to support it. But what is more important than that, Madam Speaker, is this. Because here we are today, we have bipartisan opposition to impeachment, not bipartisan support. You know, my colleagues opposite want the American people to think that this is a sad and somber day. Well, this is a sad day. It's a sad day for this institution because we've lowered the bar to impeach a president that continues to give us an economy that not only is growing.
Oh, thank you to the Brother Deacon Asa, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Suffolk County, New York, the first district of New York, is at the further end of Long Island. Well, that explains a lot.
Who the president of the United States should be and disenfranchise 63 million voters when all is said and done.
Never mind the 65.8 who got disenfranchised by the Electoral College. Why they can't bring that up just beats the, well, yeah, it just beats cats fucking.
Couldn't bring themselves to work with Donald Trump, so they console themselves instead by silencing the will of those who did the American people, and I yield back.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I'm proud to recognize the gentleman from California, Mr. Sherman, for 1 minute.
Gentleman's recognized for 1 minute.
Robert Mueller lays out facts from 2017 that constitute obstruction of justice, but says the president cannot be indicted. Only Congress can apply the law to those facts. Many of us have been talking about impeachment since those facts emerged in 2017. Of course, today we focus on more recent crimes. So why did we talk of impeachment back when a Republican-led Congress would not act? Why do we impeach today when a Republican-led Senate is unlikely to act? First, because it is our constitutional duty, no matter what the political consequences. Second, because it is the most effective tool to chasten and restrain a president who is not naturally feel constrained by the rule of law. I would note that the president's attempt to extort Ukraine was secretive and furtive, far different from his modus operandi of blazing threats that we saw in 2017. We can only imagine what high crimes and misdemeanors this president would have boldly committed had no one been talking about impeachment then, had he felt immune from impeachment. Today we will demonstrate that the president is not above the law.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It would have been nice if they had actually thought those crimes were bad enough to put in the articles. They didn't. I yield 3 minutes to the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Ratcliffe.
Gentleman's recognized for 3 minutes.
Not that they would have admitted those crimes either.
Doesn't think the Democrats.
But did Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins just admit that the 10 instances of obstruction of justice in the Mueller report were crimes? I think he did. He's really not very good at that. No.
But right now, down the hall, Democrats in the Senate are saying the exact opposite. They're complaining. They need more.
Oh, this is John Ratcliffe. This is the guy that Trump wanted to nominate until they found out that he was a liar about his own resume.
He's a Russian agent, and we've got evidence, which of course proved to be totally false. And to quote the favorite catchphrase of one member of this House, they got caught. Along the way, those same Democrats said, trust us. The FISA law and court weren't abused by the Obama administration using Democratic opposition research dossier against the Trump campaign and President Trump. Again, totally false, and again, they got caught. And when Democrats started this latest impeachment inquiry, they said, trust us, we have not yet spoken to the whistleblower. Again, totally false, and they got caught. Sadly, my Democratic colleagues have placed their own credibility in the hands of members of this body that have no credibility left, members that nobody trusts because they keep getting caught betraying America. But unless a bolt of courage and integrity strikes that side of the room in the next hour, history will reflect that Donald Trump is the third president to be impeached. History may also shortly reflect that he'll be the first president to be reelected after being wrongfully impeached. And if that happens, Democrats won't be able to hide behind a pretend veneer of caring about the Constitution. History will record the Democrats' legacy as a betrayal of the Constitution because the founders meant for impeachment to be used for action
against Democrats.
It's so rare that it's happened 3 times in 2.5 centuries. It wasn't meant for congratulatory phone calls where there's no crime alleged, where there's no victim, and where the Democrats themselves couldn't even decide what to accuse the president of doing wrong before ending up with this embarrassment of a grab bag of abuse of power article. An obstruction of Congress? To even allege it is an admission of constitutional illiteracy. The founders had a term for what the Democrats call obstruction of Congress. The founders called it the separation of powers.
No, they didn't.
Obstruction. Every time Democrats get caught trying to frame this president for some crime he didn't commit, they follow up by accusing him of obstructing their efforts to frame him for the things he never did in the first place. The founders warned and feared today might come when impeachment was used politically by the party that had the most votes. Today, Democrats are the founders' worst nightmare come true. I think most Americans are probably wishing they could impeach the Democrats. To them, I say, you can next November. I yield back.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I think when the history of this time is written, it will record that when my colleagues found that they lacked the courage to stand up to this unethical president, they consoled themselves by attacking those who did. I now recognize the gentleman from California, Mr. Takano, for unanimous consent.
Damn, that stung.
He's recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record my remarks supporting the impeachment of President Donald Trump.
That objection is so ordered.
Madam Speaker, I request unanimous consent for the gentlelady from New York, Ms. Clark, for her request.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent
to enter into the record my remarks supporting my vote for the impeachment of Donald J. Trump.
Without objection.
Madam Speaker, I recognize the gentlelady from California, Ms. Napolitano, for unanimous consent request.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record my remarks supporting the articles of impeachment against Donald Trump.
Without objection, so ordered.
Madam Speaker, the gentlelady from Ohio, Ms. Beatty, for unanimous consent request.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record my remarks supporting the impeachment of President Donald Trump.
Without objection, so ordered.
Speaker, I recognize the gentlelady from Virginia, Ms. Wexton, for a unanimous consent request.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record my remarks supporting the impeachment of President Donald Trump.
Without objection, so ordered.
Madam Speaker, I'm now proud to recognize the gentleman from New Jersey, Mr. Pascrell, for 1 minute.
Gentleman's recognized for 1 minute.
Do you get the idea that Adam Schiff is keeping his powder dry, not just for himself, but for something even bigger or as big?
To confront the threat standing before us, offered the chance to investigate this government together, the president and his party stonewalled and obstructed. We're here today because they choose comfort over courage and avarice over the republic. This is the ongoing tragedy of our age, and it is ongoing. The matter is now solely in our hands and belongs to us and us alone. The buck has stopped. Many have invoked the judgment of history as an anecdote to this threat. But the threat to democracy is here today, not tomorrow. We need not, we must not, await the verdict of time for Donald Trump's abuse of power and obstruction. We can offer that verdict right now. And we are.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield 3 minutes to the gentleman from Ohio, Mr. Jordan.
Gentleman's recognized for 3 minutes.
I thank the gentleman. Madam Speaker, the Democrats forgot two key things. Forgot about the facts and they forgot about fairness.
Oh, it's gym shorts who looked the other way when boys were being raped.
We have the call transcript. No quid pro quo. We have the two guys on the call. Excuse me, who've repeatedly said,
son of a gun, he put on a jacket.
No pushing. We have the fact Ukraine.
It's a red letter day.
At the time of the phone call, and most importantly, Ukraine took no action, no announcement of investigation to get the aid released. But Democrats don't care.
It must have been a kind of a last minute thing, though, because he's not wearing his Congress critter pin on his jacket. It's on his shirt underneath.
Republicans were prevented from getting all their questions answered, but Democrats got every one of their questions. The witness responded every one of theirs, but not Republicans. The chairman wouldn't let him. And, of course, the whistleblower, the anonymous whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge, bias against the president, who worked for Joe Biden, was never compelled to testify. The guy who started it all. This is really about.
Worked for Joe Biden, did he?
Driving these guys crazy because he's getting things done. He's doing what he said he was going to do. He's having results. Taxes have been cut. Regulations reduced. Unemployment at its lowest level in 50 years. The economy growing.
Children dying in cages in concentration camps.
Embassy in Jerusalem, hostages home from North Korea, and a new NAFTA agreement coming tomorrow. But guess what? When you drain the swamp fights back. And they started attacking the president before the election even. July 31st, 2016, they opened the Russia investigation. The FBI spied on four American citizens associated with the
Trump campaign. No, they didn't. Hey, gym shorts. Now quote Lindsey Graham, what he said back in 2016 about Donald Trump. Yeah, do that.
Lied to the court 17 times. Guess what? Three days ago on national television, even Jim Comey had to admit the FBI was wrong. And yesterday, 1 day ago, the FISA court sends the FBI a letter and says, straighten up, get your act together when it comes to the FISA application process. Think about this. The attack started then and it continued right up till today. But I want you to think about something. The individual who said the FISA process was fine, the dossier was fine, the Russian investigation was fine. That same individual ran the impeachment process. That same individual staff met with the whistleblower. That same individual is the only guy in Congress who knows who the whistleblower is for sure. And that same individual released the phone records of the president's personal attorney, released the phone records of a member of the press, and released the phone records of a Republican member of the United States Congress.
No, he didn't. He released the information that those individuals were engaged in the actual conspiracy. Devin Nunes, was talking with Rudy Giuliani. What's his fuck? Solomon was conspiring with Rudy Giuliani.
63 million folks who voted for this guy and made him president in electoral college.
Oh, there's those precious 63 million people again who are less than 65.8.
Let the American people decide who should be president. Let the American people decide. I yield back.
Gentleman from California.
Drop dead.
Mr. Speaker, I'm proud to recognize the gentleman from Illinois, Mr. Schneider, for 1 minute.
Gentleman's recognized for 1 minute.
Let's take a moment here. I got a couple of emails to go into. Flavio says, the Dems choose avarice over the Republic, projecting much, only all the time. And then Scary says, Flavio, every last one of the Republicans is a consummate liar and compromised to the hilt by Russian rubles. Every last one of them. Maybe that was what the Tea Party was about. You know, that AstroTurf organization Dick Armey created. I wonder how many rubles Dick Armey got. Because, yeah, that's a question that hasn't been adequately answered. How far back does the ruble pipeline run? And Jim notes, Suffolk County, New York, Fuzz used to raid us on Fire Island. Bastards. I know them too well, these suffering folks. Billable Rick says, Jim Shorts Jordan. That guy's seriously delusional. I wonder whose sports coat he had to borrow today. I think it was borrowed. No, it was his because it didn't have a pin on it. His pin's on his shirt, Billable. Our buddy GK. Chalupa? Did that guy say Chalupa? Taco Bell, anyone? Actually, that's Andrea Chalupa. And she said, I'd be happy to testify. They don't want to hear from me. And you know what? Nobody ever said interview Andrea Chalupa. At least no Republican. Oh, look. It's Conspiracy Boy, Devin Nunez.
Monstrous accusation that he was a Russian agent. As detailed by IG Horowitz, dishonest intelligence officials used fake allegations spread by the Democrats to gain approval of a spying operation against the Trump campaign. As they falsely accused the Trump campaign of colluding with Russians, the Democrats themselves colluded with Russians to manufacture these allegations in the infamous Steele dossier. They even tried to get nude pictures of Trump from Russian pranksters.
With the Russian those weren't pranksters.
The Democrats had everything going.
I mean, unless the FSB is pranksters.
Investigations run by Trump haters, an endless supply of media cheerleaders, and a galaxy of left-wing interest groups amplifying their ridiculous message. And yet,
I want to be a left-wing interest group.
Disposal, the Russia conspiracy theory collapsed. So they quickly concocted.
Actually, it didn't.
The Ukraine hoax was based on a supposed whistleblower who colluded beforehand with the Democrats. The Democrats then prevented Congress from interviewing the whistleblower while conducting bizarre secret depositions and selectively leaking testimony
secret.
To discredit
you know,
media
the secret
hacks.
Depositions where there were
the
lots
Democrats
of Republicans in
the
room.
The most useful witnesses in public hearings that somehow reduced support for impeachment. It's not easy to make a coup attempt boring, but the Democrats found a way. As it turns out, the American people don't think a routine phone call with a foreign leader is a good basis for ousting a U.S. president. The Democrats also put forth ever-changing accusations against the president, including campaign finance violations, quid pro quos, election interference, bribery, extortion.
They're doing everything. Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins is doing everything he can to try to bait Adam Schiff. That's why they brought up Nunez, who really, if he had any shame at all, would not allow his face to be seen in this situation.
But the only thing President Trump is guilty of is beating Hillary Clinton.
Which he didn't do. You know, he's a loser.
And now they're indicating they'll continue their impeachment efforts even after this one fails in the U.S. Senate. Madam Speaker, after all their deceit, phony investigations, ginned up crises, and manufactured outrage, the Democrats need a long period of rehabilitation. They must learn how to do something productive for the American people.
Like 485 bills, dumbass.
Instead of ripping the country apart in their lust for power. With that, I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I thank the gentleman for his remarks, and it's now my pleasure to recognize the gentleman from Massachusetts, Chairman Neal, for 3 minutes.
Gentleman's recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It is deeply unfortunate that we have to undertake this impeachment proceeding that unfolds this evening. But the part we play in this process is not optional. Among other things, as the Intelligence and Judiciary Committees have painted...
This is Richard Neal, the chair of House Ways and Means. We're going to be talking about him in a minute. He's not exactly what you'd call a good guy.
...threatened to withhold congressionally appropriated U.S. taxpayer dollars from an ally under attack from Russia unless they agree to interfere in our election on his behalf. He has expressed no remorse, and he continues to maintain that his behavior was, quote, perfect. While simultaneously obstructing legitimate congressional oversight and subpoenas and blocking members of his administration from providing truthful testimony to investigators, his actions are so far beyond the pale that they have left us with no remaining recourse except impeachment, and so we shall impeach. Because as drastic and as unwelcome as this step is, our country faces even greater long-term risk if we fail to respond. We cannot excuse a president who feels entitled to disregard or break the law with impunity. We are a nation built upon the rule of law, not the law of rulers. The framers gave us their best effort in 1787, and indeed it was an extraordinary one. The Constitution they set down wasn't perfect, but it founded a republic that has endured and thrived with exceptional stability. As the late Senator Moynihan pointed out, only two countries in the world, both existed in 1800 and have never had their governments changed by violence since then, the United States and Britain. Only eight governments have existed since 1914 and have not had their form of government changed by force since then. The United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa, Sweden, and Switzerland. The innovative system of checks and balances that they constructed with the separation of powers brought about and successfully negotiated a generation of challenges that we have sustained. In the very first week that the framers began crafting this blueprint for America's freedom and stability, and negotiations indeed immediately started on impeachment. No government in the world at that time exposed the head of government to impeachment, but America was to be different. In the view of the framers, impeachment is in no way a constitutional crisis. It is a process that the framers wisely judged that we would sometimes need. This evening is one of those rare moments. Madison worried that one day the country would elect a president who, quote, might pervert his administration to a scheme of peculation or oppression. He might betray his trust to foreign powers, end of quote. George Mason asked the delegates, quote, shall we see any man to be above justice? And above all, shall that man be above it? Then who can commit the most extensive injustice? End of quote. Of course not, because having just thrown off one king, they would never consent to anoint another one. America firmly rejected the notion of divine right. Speaker Rayburn summed it up, but I have 30 extra seconds.
Without objection.
Thank the gentleman.
Gentleman's recognized.
Article 1 of the Constitution prescribes Congress as the first branch of government. And just as importantly, let me quote Speaker Rayburn, who was asked, how many presidents did you serve under? And Speaker Rayburn answered, none. I served with 7 presidents of the United States. Impeachment is reserved for moments of grave danger when the constitutional order becomes dangerously out of balance, moments like this one. And that's why I will vote to impeach.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield a minute 45 to the gentleman from Georgia, Mr. Ferguson.
Gentleman's recognized seconds. For 1 minute, 45 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, here we are on the verge of doing exactly what America doesn't want us to do and what they feared that you would do. In 2016, I, along with 63 million American voters,
which is still less than 65.8,
went to the polls, and we raised our collective political middle finger to D.C. and voted for Donald Trump. Folks like my father, who watched this place destroy his profession of community banking, my friends and family in the textile industry that saw their way of life destroyed following NAFTA, Americans in rural areas whose opportunity in life and voice have been drowned out by the screams of socialist Democrats. Our friends and neighbors... Broken down, project-based public housing, who for generations have been told by this place, this is the best that we think that you can do. Here's your check. God bless you. Now move along.
It's the check he objects to.
Our voice from office. Well, our voice will be heard, and I stand here determined to make sure that it will be, because we will fight back against this corrupt and unfair impeachment process. How dare you, the liberal elites, the condescending bureaucrats.
How's it feel to be an elite, y'all?
Every other kind of swamp critter in this godforsaken place tell the American public who the president should be. That's the job of the American voter, not yours. This whole flipping goat rodeo is a sham and a shame, and it will not be forgotten. Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
There's another threat.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I'm proud to recognize the gentlewoman from Washington, the gentleman from Washington, Mr. Heck, for 2 minutes.
Gentleman's recognized for 2 minutes.
Madam Speaker,
we're running downhill now.
Are busy finishing up their Christmas shopping, mostly for their children, or if they're lucky enough to have them, their grandchildren. And high school and college students are taking final exams and sweating out the results. And that got me to thinking about those who follow and what our obligation is to them. And that got me thinking about those who came before and how they might have seen their obligation to us. People like my grandfather, whom our family believes literally was born on the boat on the way over here from Germany. Or my father, who fought in World War II against the very people that his grandfather had left. We're all here today, all of us, because someone before us sacrificed so that they could journey here and build a new life in this unique land. And we are here today because those immigrants and their children were dedicated not just to the land of America, but to the idea, freedom and opportunity secured by self-government, choosing our own leaders in free and fair elections, and the rule of law under the Constitution.
Gentlemen's time's expired.
2 minutes?
Madam Speaker, happy to yield another 30 seconds to the gentleman from Washington.
Gentleman's recognized.
This idea of America is in peril, brought about so by this president who sought to cheat in an election. A president who puts himself above the law and attacks the bedrock constitutional precept of checks and balances. Yet the question is, can America survive this behavior? What idea will we hand down to those who follow us? And finally, what is our obligation to those who would follow? It is simply this: to do our duty to defend the Constitution and the values underpinning it by voting yes on the articles of impeachment. I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman from Georgia.
I reserve, Madam Chair.
Gentleman reserves. Gentleman from California.
Can I do a UC request to enter?
Sure.
Madam Speaker, I'm proud to yield to the gentlelady from Florida, Ms. Demings, for 2 minutes.
Gentlelady is recognized for 2 minutes.
Madam Speaker, we live in the greatest democracy in the world, and I am convinced that the overwhelming majority of Americans are good, decent people who work hard and play by the rules. But then we have people who have no respect for the law, people who have little regard for the rules, people who spend a lot of their time trying to figure out how to game the system. Law enforcement officers call them habitual offenders. And the more they get away with, the more likely they are to engage in misconduct. Some say it takes courage to hold powerful people accountable, but I see it differently. I see it as a sense of duty, a regular part of my job as a member of Congress. However, habitual offenders usually don't sneak up on you. They usually telegraph their intentions time and time again. On July 27th of 2016, in my home state of Florida, then-candidate Trump said, "Russia, if you're listening, I hope you will be able to find the 30,000 emails, thereby inviting foreign interference into U.S. elections. But then the day after the special counsel testified before Congress, the president, feeling undeterred and emboldened, said, called President Zelensky and pressured him to help him rig the elections, and chose to hold much-needed military aid over our allies' head until the president's demands were met. Now, I served 12 years on the hostage negotiations team, and I know that pressure and demands come in many forms. And in this scheme, we had both. I've enforced the laws, and now I write the laws. But the laws mean nothing if the accused can destroy evidence, stop witnesses from testifying, and blatantly refuse to cooperate. I ask you,
damn, she's good,
in your community or your family who can do that. I know the president said that he can get away with anything he wants to. I come today to tell you that no, he cannot, because no one is above the law, and he shall be held accountable.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this moment, I yield for a unanimous consent request. The gentleman from Arkansas.
Gentleman's recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter my remarks into the record in opposition to this sham impeachment.
Without objection, so ordered. Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this time, I yield 4 minutes to the gentlewoman from Wyoming, Ms. Cheney.
Oh, this will be good. Minutes.
Thank you very much.
Dick in a bad wig.
Madam Speaker, I rise today on the floor of this magnificent chamber, the very heart of our Democratic Republic. And I would imagine, Madam Speaker, that every one of us in this chamber, regardless of party, understands, shares a common view, that being citizens of this great republic is among life's most tremendous blessings. We all know that no force on earth is more powerful than the force of freedom.
Well, I mean, unless you're delivering that freedom to a million innocent non-combatant Iraqis by killing them like your daddy did. Tell us, Liz, what's it like every morning when Dick gets up, you know, Count Dicula, when Count Dicula gets up and wipes all that blood off his hands?
Down to us through generations and affirmed in our oath of office to preserve and protect our Constitution. Madam Speaker, our nation's framers recognized that this republic is fragile, and that extreme partisanship can be among the most severe threats to its survival. That is why, in Federalist 65, Alexander Hamilton wrote, quote, there will always be the greatest danger.
Wait, I thought it was bad to quote Federalist 65 and Alexander Hamilton. I mean, isn't that what one of the Republicans was complaining about a little bit ago?
Real demonstrations of innocence.
Hypocrite much, Republicans?
Here, Madam Speaker, our Democratic colleagues have been working to remove this president since the day he was elected.
Because he was impeachable the day he was elected. Sorry, tech problems. I can't take calls and run this audio at the same time.
Asserts his constitutional privileges. The Democrats are asking members of this body to impeach, despite the fact that they have presented no direct evidence of any.
Oh, no direct evidence. Oh, okay.
Let me say it one more time, Madam Speaker. They have presented no direct evidence of any impeachable offense. If anyone in this chamber,
except, you know, the 17 witnesses who testified to the conduct in question,
I would urge those members to ask the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Mr. Schiff, why he failed to appear to answer questions about his report before members vote for impeachment.
Because he was not obligated to, you.
Why the author of the impeachment,
Dick in a bad wig,
will not defend it under questioning. If the House impeaches here, Madam Speaker, it will create exactly the type of risk the framers cautioned us to avoid.
No, it actually won't.
It will mean that divided government can imperil a democratically elected president based on unproven allegations and innuendo in the absence of direct testimony. Despite all the rhetoric you've heard today, Madam Speaker,
hey, you know what's not in the Constitution? a reference to direct evidence. And you know, they knew what it was because they said, for instance, you can't convict someone of treason without the direct testimony of two witnesses to it or confession by the treasoner in open court. They did not include any such in the impeachment language, in the impeachment clause. Oops. These goddamn maggots are adherents of a constitution that exist only in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between their ears and pass for brains.
Madam Speaker, today we proclaim that no person is above the law, not even the President of the United States.
This is Andy Levin of Michigan.
Donald J. Trump abused the power of his office and violated his oath of office by extorting a new and inexperienced president of a vulnerable foreign ally to dig up dirt on Mr. Trump's domestic political opponents. He then obstructed the Congress, this equal branch of our government, from undertaking our duty, outlined in the Constitution itself, to investigate and check these violations. Today, we do nothing more and nothing less than fulfill our duty to our country and to our Constitution. Mr. Trump has allowed foreign powers to interfere in our domestic affairs. He has endangered our national security and our democracy itself. For those reasons, we must impeach this president. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I yield back.
Gentleman from Georgia.
Madam Speaker, at this point, I have a yield for a unanimous consent request to the gentleman from Oregon.
Gentleman's recognized.
I'd pose this resolution on impeachment and ask that my words be put in the record.
Without objection, so order.
Madam Speaker, I have unanimous consent request from the gentleman from South Carolina.
Gentleman's recognized.
Madam Speaker, I oppose these resolutions. I ask for my comments to be admitted into the record.
Without objection, so order.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I ask.
And the South will rise again.
Mississippi.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I oppose the articles of impeachment and like my comments be entered into the record.
And the South will rise again.
I reserve.
Gentleman reserves. Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, reserve the balance of my time.
Who seeks recognition?
Madam Speaker, I ask of the gentleman, is he ready to close?
No, we have a few more speakers.
Then I reserve.
Madam Speaker, I recognize the gentleman from New York, Mr. Espiant, for 1 minute.
Gentleman's recognized for 1 minute.
Madam Speaker, if you live in Lenox Avenue in the village of Harlem in my district, you are not above the law. If you live on Webster Avenue in the Bronx part of my district, you are not above the law. If you live in Washington Heights, the immigrant neighborhood in my district, you are not above the law.
Representative Adriano Espaillat.
If you live on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you are not above the law, and you will be held accountable. President Donald Trump asked Ukrainian president to do us a favor and look into the Biden. That's abuse of power. President Trump used the official White House meeting to extort a Ukrainian president. That's abuse of power. President Trump ordered White House staff to withhold $400 million in aid to the Ukraine. That's abuse of power. President Trump and his staff deny defy multiple subpoenas from Congress. That's obstruction of Congress. He blocked witnesses from testifying before this body. That's obstruction of Congress. Nadie está por encima de la ley. No one is above the law. I cast my vote for this impeachment, in articles of impeachment, and I ask my colleagues to do the same.
Georgia.
Madam Speaker, I yield for unanimous consent request from the gentleman from Virginia.
Gentleman's recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter my statement into the record, recording that I am
opposed to this articles of impeachment on the basis that they do not measure to Article 2, Section 4.
And the South will rise again. Yeah, because see, that's a thing. If you've paid attention, and you have, if you paid attention to these proceedings all day, you have seen a uniformly white, almost entirely male parade on the Republican side. The Democrat side has looked at least somewhat more like America looks, sounded at least somewhat more like America sounds. On the other hand, the Republicans, well, let's just say the optics haven't been good. A whole bunch of old white men, many or most of them Southerners, standing up and shrieking and howling and giving their undying lickspittle support to the son of a Klansman ain't a good look.
Nice. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Oh, they found a woman.
Consent to enter into the record my opposition to these articles of impeachment.
I think it's a woman.
Without objection.
I reserve.
Gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, I'm proud to recognize the gentlewoman from California, Ms. Davis, for 30 seconds.
Or either. Gentlelady's
recognized.
A really ugly hippie. I don't know. Republican hippies, do those exist?
Madam Speaker, make no mistake. We are not impeaching this president. He is impeaching himself.
Ouch.
If you are the president and you obstruct justice, try to bribe a foreign leader, and threaten national security, you're going to get impeached. End of story.
Deal spec. Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this time, I recognize the gentleman from North Carolina for a unanimous consent request.
Gentleman's recognized.
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record my opposition to these articles of impeachment.
Without objection.
I reserve.
And the South will rise again.
Madam Speaker, I'm proud to recognize the gentlewoman from New Mexico, Ms. Holland, for 1 minute.
Gentlelady is recognized for 1 minute.
Madam Speaker, I stand before you as a representative of New Mexico, a place where we believe in dignity and respect for all. In Congress, I've been fighting for them. We've been working to make health care more affordable, education accessible, and move our country forward for the people. But today, this president has forced us into a serious debate. We're talking about a president who used the power of the presidency for his own political gain, risking our national security and putting the integrity of the next election at risk. It's a sad day when a president shows complete disrespect for Congress as a co-equal branch of government and for the American people who elected us. We collected the evidence and the facts are indisputable. We all took an oath to protect and defend our Constitution. We have the solemn responsibility to hold this president accountable because it's our job. I urge my colleagues to live up to our responsibility and show our fellow Americans that no one, not even the president, is above the law, and I yield.
Gentlelady yields back. Gentleman from Georgia.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this moment, I yield to the gentleman from Oklahoma for unanimous consent request.
Gentleman's recognized.
As unanimous consent to enter into the record my opposition to these articles of impeachment.
That objection.
And the South will rise again. We really should change the name of the Republicans to the New Confederate Party.
Ms. Adams for a unanimous consent request.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record my statement in support of the articles of impeachment against President Donald J. Trump.
Without objection, so ordered.
I reserve the balance of our time.
Gentleman reserves.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. At this time, I give 5 minutes to the gentleman from Louisiana, the minority whip, Mr. Scalise.
Gentleman's recognized for five
minutes. It's Steve Scalise, the guy who gave went and gave a speech to the a white supremacist organization.
About some solid duty tonight. Let's talk about what this is really about. This has been about a political vendetta. A political vendetta that didn't just start with the Zelensky call. It started long before that.
Don't worry, Steve. The money will be on the nightstand.
In this chamber, Speaker Pelosi, quote, it's been going on for 22 months, 2.5 years, actually. We cannot accept a second term for Donald Trump. What's more serious is that he can't win. This isn't about some crime that was committed. It's about fear that he might win re-election. That's not why you impeach a president. Al Green, quote, I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get re-elected. The list goes on, Madam Speaker. In fact, there's some quotes that I can't even read on this House floor that some of our colleagues made. And keep in mind,
I can say it here, we're going to impeach the motherfucker. God bless you, Rashida Tlaib.
Voted to impeach this president before the Zelensky phone call. Just look at some of these articles of impeachment that they voted for. 2 years ago, 58 Democrats voted to impeach the president over comments he made about NFL players kneeling for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, he called a human being a son of a bitch.
Over 50 Democrats voted.
It's okay. You know what? Let's be clear about that while this guy who addressed a white supremacist organization is speaking. You know what you can do? You can impeach the president for being a racist. That'd be an interesting question to put to these new Confederates. In 2019, does being a white supremacist, does being a racist constitute an impeachable offense? That would be interesting to know. I'd love to have their position on that. Well, not if 63 million other racists voted for him. That means that they want a racist president. Oh, Jesus. Let's take a break. Just because this, everything's moving really quickly right now. Let's not take a break. We're not going anywhere. But I want to check in because I think Nitwit Nero might be speaking. And he ought to be in rare form, dosed to the gills, if in fact that's the case. I'll check and then we'll decide whether we want to go to it or not. Oh, it's the pre-show music. What is that? House of the Rising Sun? Yeah, they've got the faithful all warmed up with the Stones. I guess Mick's just going to continue to cash the check. We know Keith doesn't like it. Well, I guess that's the deal with the devil you make when you sign on with ASCAP, BMI, that bunch. And Jesus, Steve Scalise is still giving his stem winder.
Cry Chrysler, 6,500 new jobs. That's what this president is doing to deliver for those men and women of this country who had been left
behind. Yeah, yeah. Tell it to the Marines. Arnold says, the South will rise again. With enough Viagra, anything's possible. Yeah, meanwhile, Agnes noting, that pre-show music sounded, with the organ there, sounded more like a porn intro. Bow chicka bow wow. And not much of a break, Bob, says Scott in San Diego, going from the repetitive GOP fools on the hill to the tangerine-hued hulking dollop-in-chief on the road in Michigan. Somebody please shoot me. Don't say that. It's a woman speaking, so we know it's not a Republican.
Madam Speaker, it is now my pleasure to recognize the gentleman from Maryland, the Majority Leader of the House of Representatives, Mr. Hoyer, for 1 minute.
Gentleman's recognized.
My colleagues.
The gentleman will suspend. The House will come to order. Gentleman's recognized.
Madam Speaker, I have had the honor of serving in this House for over 38 years. I've served during six presidencies. I've been here through moments of tremendous progress and terrible tragedy. I've seen periods of rank partisanship and patriotic bipartisanship. I've seen our two-party system work, and I've seen it break down. Never in all my years of serving in this great institution that I love and the people of my district did I ever expect to encounter such an obvious wrongdoing by a president of the United States. Nor did I expect to witness such a craven rationalization of presidential actions, which have put our national security at risk, undermined the integrity of our elections, and defied the constitutional authority of the Congress to conduct oversight. We've heard from Republicans that this impeachment really has to do with policy differences or how we feel personally about the president, about his temperament, or that we simply dislike him. Throughout the Trump presidency, Democrats have resisted pursuing impeachment, even as we watched with dismay and disgust at a pattern of wrongdoing. That pattern included ordering federal agencies to lie to the public, firing the FBI director for refusing to end investigations of his campaign, siding with Vladimir Putin against our intelligence agencies, taking funding away from the military to put towards an ineffective border wall, and setting policies that have led to the separation of families and caging of children. We have to be sure deep disagreements with the policies and actions taken by this president. There's been a lot of talk about the 63 million people who voted for Mr. Trump.
Here it comes.
Little talk about the 65 million people who voted for Hillary Clinton. The policy difference or those votes, this president was elected legitimately.
The House will stay in order. The gentleman deserves to be heard. Gentleman's recognized.
That one stung.
Because we have an electoral college. But none of these are reasons to pursue what Chairman Schiff has called a wrenching process for the nation. In fact, Democrats rejected that process emphatically in three specific votes. In December of 2017, Democrats overwhelmingly voted against pursuing articles of impeachment, including the Speaker and myself. We did so again in 2018, with over 60% of the Democrats rejecting pursuing articles of impeachment. And again, just months ago, in July of 2019, 60% of the Democrats said no to pursuing articles of impeachment. Just days before the infamous July 25th telephone call, we did the same with 60% of Democrats voting not to proceed. Credible witnesses, many of whom were appointed to office by President Trump, have corroborated the details and timeline of his abuse of presidential power, which forms the basis of the first article of impeachment in this resolution. Instead, I will not recount all of the witnesses or abuses that have occurred. I congratulate my colleagues and Mr. Nadler and his committee and Mr. Schiff and his committee for setting forth a compelling case. They've been laid out fully in the articles before us and by colleagues in their remarks. What I will do is remind Americans that the House provided President Trump every opportunity to prove his innocence, but the witnesses were precluded from coming forth. The witnesses who have personal knowledge did not come, either at the President's request, in which he refused to show up because he thought it was a sham, as so many of you have said, or to the committees. Instead, he ignored congressional subpoenas for documents and for testimony by White House officials and ordered his subordinates not to cooperate. Perhaps they could have exonerated him. This itself, I suggest to you, is unprecedented. When President Nixon and Clinton were asked to hand over documents and allow officials to testify, ultimately both complied, because it is the law. Such actions of the President can be taken as further evidence of his obstruction and abuse of power. It is, in and of itself, impeachable conduct, the subject of the second article of impeachment. These two articles before us concern two very profound constitutional issues about the abuse of power in our republic. First, whether it is acceptable for the President of the United States, any president, to solicit foreign interference in our elections. There is a difference as to whether he's done that, and the place to try that is in the United States Senate. But we believe strongly there is probable cause to conclude that. To undermine our national security, the integrity of our elections, and the integrity of our democracy. And secondly, whether it is permissible for the President to obstruct Congress and act as if he is above the law and immune from constitutional oversight. On December 4th, the Judiciary Committee heard the testimony of constitutional law experts who weighed in on these points. Some 1,500 historians have said the same thing. As Professor Noah Feldman said, if we cannot impeach a president who abuses his office for personal advantage, we no longer live in a democracy. We live in a monarchy, or we live under a dictatorship. The votes we are about to take concern the rule of law and our democracy itself. Let us not forget the words of John Locke, so influential to the founders of our republic. John Locke, millennia ago, said this: wherever law ends, tyranny begins. This impeachment asks whether we are still a republic of laws, as our founders intended, or whether we will accept that one person can be above the law. In America, as we have said over and over again, no one is above the law. But only as long as we hold every person accountable for breaking the law, even a president, will that be true. If the House does not act, if we wait and delay, we run the risk of allowing the president's misconduct, if we believe it to be so, to be repeated at the expense of the integrity of our elections, our national security, and our constitutional system of separation of powers. Democrats did not choose this impeachment. We did not wish for it. We voted against it. We voted against it once. We voted against it twice. We voted against it three times as recently as July. We did not want this. However, President Trump's misconduct has forced our constitutional republic to protect itself. These votes that we are about to take and the process that will follow in the Senate are not only an assessment of the president's commitment to the Constitution or to his oath of office. It is, as well, a test of our own. Damning evidence of the president's high crimes has emerged. Nevertheless, Republican members of this House and of the Senate have continued to defend the president, whose actions seem to many of us to be indefensible. All of us feel a sense of loyalty to party. It's what makes our two-party system function, is what helps hold presidents and majorities accountable. But party loyalty must have its limits. And as evidence of the president's impeachable offenses have mounted daily as the witnesses testified, it has become increasingly clear that the limits of partisanship have been reached and passed. Now Democrats and Republicans together face a test before our constituents, our countrymen, and our Creator. The New York Times on October 18th summarized the question now posed to House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats. Compromise by compromise, Donald Trump has hammered away at what Republicans once saw as foundational virtues: decency, honesty, responsibility, and yes, even civility. went on to say, will they commit themselves and their party wholly to Mr. Trump, embracing even his most anti-democratic actions? Or will they take the first step towards separating themselves from him and restoring confidence in the rule of law? Madam Speaker, we have seen Republican courage throughout our history, from the Civil War to the Cold War. In 1950, Margaret Chase Smith, the senator from Maine, a Republican, spoke bravely against the cancer of McCarthyism in her party, leading six of her Republican colleagues in a declaration of conscience against their own leadership. We are Republicans, they declared, but we are Americans first. In 1974, one congressman took the brave and principled step of becoming the first Republican on the Judiciary Committee to support impeaching President Nixon. He said to his colleagues and to the country, and I quote, "It isn't easy for me to align myself against the president to whom I gave my enthusiastic support, on whose side I've stood in many legislative battles, whose accomplishments in foreign and domestic affairs I've consistently applauded. But it is impossible," he went on to say, "for me to condone or ignore the long train of abuses to which he has subjected the presidency and the people of this country. The Constitution and my own oath of office," he said, "demand that I bear true faith and allegiance to the principles of law and justice upon which this nation was founded." And he concluded, "And I cannot, in good conscience, turn away from the evidence of evil that is to me so clear and compelling." My colleagues, that congressman's name was Larry Hogan, Sr. He represented the 5th District of Maryland, which I now represent. His son is presently the second-term Republican governor of our state. When Larry Hogan, Sr. died in 2017, every obituary led with praise for his act of political courage. Who among us, many years from now, will receive such praise as a man or woman of courage? Who will regret not having earned it? We've talked a lot about partisan differences. There is one person who has spoken today who is neither a member of the Republican Party nor the Democratic Party. His name is Justin Amash, who represents a Republican district. He left the Republican Party, and in doing so, he admonished his colleagues that, quote, "This president will only be in power for a short time, but excusing his behavior will forever tarnish your name." He spoke on this floor in support of the two articles that we will consider this evening. Neither a Democrat nor a Republican. Representative Amash, of course, is the only member of this House who has no allegiance to either party, but to his country. He is supporting, as I've said, both articles. We need not ask who will be the first to show courage by standing up to President Trump. The question we must now ask is, who will be the last to find it? The pages of our history are filled with Americans who have the courage to choose country over party or personality. But as President Kennedy wrote, the stories of past courage can teach. They can offer hope. They can provide inspiration. but they cannot supply courage itself. For this, President Kennedy said, each man, each woman must look into their own soul. I urge my fellow colleagues in the House and, yes, in the Senate to look into your soul. Summons the courage to vote for our Constitution and our democracy. I understand we will all not see the same conclusion. But to do less betrays our oath and that of our founders, who pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. Let us neither turn away from the evidence, which to me seems so clear, nor from our good conscience, which compels us to do what in our hearts we know to be right. Let us not allow the rule of law to end or for tyranny to find its toehold. With our votes today, we can bear true faith and allegiance to the vision of our founders, and we can show future generations what it truly means to be Americans first. Vote yes.
Gentleman yields back. Gentleman from Georgia.
Madam Speaker, a few weeks ago, just off of this floor, I said that a dark cloud was descending upon this body. And today, because of the clock and the calendar, it is closing. It is amazing to me what I just heard from the Majority Leader, that Mr. Schiff and Mr. Nadler presented a compelling case for impeachment. If this is a compelling case for impeachment, I'm not sure why we're here right now. It is not.
To be fair, Doug, mouthful of collards, Collins, isn't really sure why he's anywhere, unless he's, well, never mind.
If the president was given every opportunity to come prove his innocence, I tell you what, Madam Speaker, let me have just a few minutes, stop the clock, and let me go around to the press corps and everybody here, and I'm going to accuse you of something. You did it. You did it. You did it. You did it. Now prove it's wrong. You did it. Guess what? You don't want to, because deep down you know that that's turning the entire jurisprudence of this country upside down. You are guilty. You're not guilty until you're proven. You're innocent. And today from this floor.
See, that's how we know that he's a liar, because the presumption that one is innocent until proven guilty applies only to criminal proceedings. But he's seeking to run the same hoodoo that he's been running all along for the maggots, because the vast majority of maggots don't understand the difference between an impeachment proceeding and a criminal proceeding. Most of the maggots think that Donald Trump is being accused of something that can send him to jail. He isn't. The Office of Legal Counsel has made clear that the President of the United States is above the law, at least where the criminal law of the United States is concerned. That's how they're defending this, by lying. Because, well, I mean, look, Doug Collins is a preacher, an evangelical preacher, a graduate of the New Orleans Baptist Seminary. He can lie with a straight face and pick your pocket at the same time. That's what happens at Southern Baptist seminaries.
Every one of you, as much as it concerns every one of us, nothing but a drive-by hit. But you know something? This Majority Leader also just said, wherever law ends, tyranny begins. But I will say this, in this House, wherever the rules are disregarded, chaos and mob rule,
actually began, and the majority has taken that to a new level. It has been said today, where is bravery? I'll tell you where bravery is found and courage is found. It's found in this minority who has lived through the last year of nothing but rules being broken, people being put down, questions not being answered, and this majority saying, be damned with anything else. We're going to impeach and do whatever.
Shh. Don't anybody mention the word Benghazi, okay? Don't anybody say but her emails.
Don't be that fun. Because when you look at it, when you actually trash the rules of this house, you want to really look at what did you gain at the end by trashing the
institution. Trashing the institution, trashing the rules. Again, don't tell Doug Mouthful. Somebody tell the maggots that the rules he's complaining were being trashed were rules that were made by the Republicans when they held the majority. That Kurt, made of wax, Gowdy, said the way you really get to the bottom of things is in closed door depositions. He said that, not Nancy Pelosi.
Actually came. There were five meetings, but when you look at it right now, none of
you know. I'd never make that argument. Well, they got the aid after everybody found out about the phone call. That's the burglar trying to take the TV back into the house.
Even through this sham impeachment, and he will do his job. He will put the American people first. He will tell them that I care about you. He will still put the economy first, and he will make sure this country stands strong. That's what I see in this abyss. That's where we're going. And, Madam Speaker, it is with that hope in the future.
This stupid fucker is going to start speaking in tongues any minute now. Hamalama shimalaga, bashwaga, husla, kinaga, karaya.
Gentleman's recognized.
Oh, there's Madam Kevin Speaker, McCarthy, the guy who let the white supremacist speak.
I'm about to say something my Democratic colleagues hate to hear. Donald J. Trump is president of the United States. His president today.
Oops, I said Kurt Gowdy, not Trey Gowdy. My bad. Thank you, Scott.
And he will be president when this impeachment is over.
I think Kurt Gowdy's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Trey Gowdy is sleeps nights at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
For the American people. Now, tonight I rise not as the leader of the opposition to this impeachment.
Liar, yes, you do.
Or as the elected representative from the Central Valley of California.
Whom you represent terribly.
McCarthy, citizen, no better, no worse than the 4,435 representatives that are in this chamber. Or the 330 million Americans watching this institution make what I believe to be one of the worst decisions.
Yeah, shut up, Kevs. I've got something better. I got an email from Darlene in Connecticut. Oh. Says Darlene. The Repigs are telling us that the next Democratic president that comes into the Oval Office will be impeached. They're going to do it out of spite if they take control of the House again. We won't have a functioning government. If we even do have a functioning government now. Well, the House functions. You know, 485 bills. Dying of neglect on Moscow Mitch's desk. How about that?
From office. After 3 years of breathless and baseless outrage, this is their last attempt to stop the Trump presidency.
No, it isn't.
Madam Speaker, Speaker Pelosi even recently admitted that Democrats have been working on this impeachment for 2.5 years. Those were her words. They were not mine. Because they lost to him in 2016, they'll do anything or say anything to stop him in 2020.
Again, 65.8 to 63. That's some loss.
Democratic republics behave. Elections matter. Voters.
Well, apparently the one in 2016 didn't.
11
months, the people's voice...
The Electoral College mattered in 2016, that anachronism from our vicious slavery past that was created to give power to sparsely populated southern states by counting people that they didn't even, that people that they considered to be property as three-fifths of a human being for apportionment purposes in the House, which then led to how many Electoral College votes the slave states got.
Why are we doing this just hours before Christmas? If that's all it was, a rush to judgment, she could be forgiven.
You know, if we were doing this in late January, he'd be saying, why are we doing this in late January when we could wait till spring? And if we were doing it in spring, he'd say, why are we doing this in spring when we could be doing this on the 4th of July? Really, I sometimes do wish there was a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky hurling lightning bolts. Psst, greasy spot.
And whether to pursue an impeachment inquiry, she threw out the bipartisan standards this House gave President Nixon and Clinton.
No, actually, the Republicans threw that standard out because they decided to put their knee pads on and get on their knees and fillet Donald Trump and go and collect the money off the nightstand. Nancy Pelosi didn't say Republicans weren't allowed to support the impeachment. Republicans instead declared that they would support Trump instead of the Constitution.
In public, what many already knew. Democrats have wanted to impeach President Trump since the day he was elected. And nothing was going to get in their way, certainly not the truth. Madam Speaker, Chairman Schiff said he had evidence, more than circumstantial, of collusion. That was false. In January, where we all stood in this body, we stood up, we raised our hands, we swore that we'd uphold the Constitution.
Oh, fuck off, Kev. I wonder how many sweet, sweet rubles made their way into your campaign account through that NRA pipeline. You know, instead of listening to Kev's, let's listen to Lady B instead. Because I've got a great note with which to end the program this evening. We won't get to the vote on impeachment. That'll happen shortly, but not before the program ends. Subject line. And by the way, we will close the program. We had $125 to raise to start. We still got $125 to go, to the best of my knowledge, unless I've missed something. I'll check real quick. Nope, we're still at $125 to go, so thanks very kindly to Nydia and to Darlene for the challenges yesterday, and thank you to everyone who responded to it. Thank you so very much. Lady B, subject line, ignorance versus knowing exactly what you're doing. I turned my Kindle to NPR this morning and went back to sleep. I woke up in time to hear Nancy Pelosi announce that they were impeaching Donald Trump. Went into the living room to watch TV. My older sister was already up. I told her that I'd been listening to the impeachment hearings and I wanted to see it. My sister turned to MSNBC. We watched 2 full minutes before she lost interest. I told her, fuck it, you want to watch The View, watch The View. She turned, and much to her disappointment, they were airing the impeachment hearings. She ended up turning to a cable channel that showed videos of people humiliating their children on camera and then sending it to television producers who hire comedians to make fun of them. We don't have a lot of intellectually stimulating conversations, but there's love, and that is that. Anyway, my point is the Republicans are acting like a bunch of petulant teenagers. This is not a game. He's going to be impeached, and you're lucky it's only over this Ukraine bullshit. It could and should be for much, much worse. We know the Senate isn't going to vote to convict and throw him out. And it's not because they don't have credible evidence. It's because they don't want to. They're Republicans, and they believe the party is far more important than the fucking country. The whole thing is just absolutely mind-boggling. Party should never come before country. I don't give a damn how much you like or dislike the candidate from the opposing party. If Obama had done this, forget that he's black, because you can trust and believe I know that life better than you. I would have willingly supported his fucking impeachment, because presidents, especially the first black president, shouldn't do this shit. I don't give a damn what color they are. But nonetheless, here we are at this clown show today. These people actually had the good fortune to win their local elections and were sent to Washington to lead the country. They were picked for that job because their constituents thought they were qualified enough to do it. Yet here we are, arguing with delusional but privileged white men and women who desperately wish Trump was a black male covered in crack cocaine and sleeping with white women. You don't have to always be a poor minority to have committed a horrible crime. Trump actually did commit an impeachable offense. Why the fuck can't they see past their ideology? For God's sake, who says shit like Russia? If you're listening, I hope you find those 30,000 emails. Who says that? Why would you invite a fucking foreign country to dig up dirt on your opponent? And why fucking Russia? Is that a privileged white person thing? Who thinks like that? I mean, I'm truly, truly baffled. Fuck me. This is too much, man. Parse it for us sinners, you good and righteous reverend. We've got a lot to atone for. Signed, Lady B. I don't think I can parse it any better than Lady B just did. Jim says Lady B, as always, speaks the truth with content and style. But it's all there in her note. There's nothing for me to clarify. Donald Trump is the constitutional nightmare that kept people like Madison up nights. The faction that divides this country, the Republican determination to put party over the very Constitution itself, is exactly what... And you can read the anguish of his mind when you read Federalist 10. And how he's trying to convince himself that even though he knows that no sooner will this document be ratified, that the country will split into faction, he's trying to tell himself it'll still be okay. But it wasn't okay. Because they baked doom into the Constitution. They baked our doom into the Constitution with the Electoral College, with the Three-Fifths Clause, with the pernicious way that those two things worked hand in white glove to lay the groundwork for 400,000 dead Americans, not even 100 years later, and 300,000 dead traitors. And we got over that. And the aftermath of the assassination of Lincoln gives us our first impeachment. Andrew Johnson. And oh, the historical cost of that Johnson administration. Because Lincoln, in the election of 1864, threw over Hannibal Hamlin of Maine. In some misguided notion of bipartisanship, by bringing on board a guy from Tennessee, a slave owner, who had somehow managed to remain loyal to the Union. Sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. So that's the program for this evening. By the time we talk again tomorrow, for Thorn in the Side Thursday, Donald Trump will be an impeached president, and it will be everything his handlers can do to keep him from going hog-ass wild. And they may not be able to. This is a delicate time. God only knows what he'll start to try to divert the attention of the country from his own abject criminality. Thanks again to all our subscribers. Thanks to our subscribers for the 18th day of the month. Thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air, either as subscribers or as a la carte contributors. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Never giving up, never flagging, as we inch closer day by day to it. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. P.S. Impeach the motherfucker. P.P.S. Fuck Trump.